Blog Talk Radio.
This is protected by the red, the black, and the green, with a P. Got my Mike Dean slice from the Mega Godzilla.
G.O.D.
Sam Seed, Rude Boy, Master Killer. My cup spilling over, so I cleanse dirty nicks. Rebel Milk Turner, my hydroglycerin cream sets off mental burners. Broadcast wide like Ted Turner's
network.
Exert vocal dramas from pimps to the llamas. I serve like Benihana. Go snap a Dada, J Supreme Abba. My son D. Yeshua, Earth Seed, Black Madonna. Theory Big Bang, Evolution, God Ethics. Told jewels is gold, one path through mathematics. The conscious terrorist, warfare kinetic, extreme level phonic,
war.
Granted it's hectic, deadline for fools, think twice before you said it. First steps to duty, no hell, your drop is endless.
To the east, blackwards, and it won't stop. Can't and will not stop. Forward.
My recipe, my roots be harmonious therapy. Kidding it ready, be ready for X Clan. We cycle like 720,
recycle the lifespan.
We evolve and expand the blood, race, and land. The brothership connection, we live,
we in the land.
We fought the guard, man, arm, leg, a leg. We doing it true to it, we measure beyond bars.
The seat to the east is empty, distracted by terror, and this sacrifice for war is plenty. Must death go and down and pending. We stop paying dues, and the streets like thuggery is the ending.
Tonight, we got Brother Panic on, with Dr. Aleem, and we get ready to break down and decode some mysteries. So, Brother Panic, are you on?
Yes, I'm here, Brother Aleem. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right.
What's up
in
with
the house?
All right, all right. What's been up to, like?
I'm chilling, same old thing, you know, kicking around the house. And as you know, and the people should know that soon I'm going to start hosting lectures in Atlanta. And, you know, this is not, you know, I'm not going to be doing lectures maybe in the near future, but I'm going to be bringing various lecturers in. And I believe Brother Aleem is the first one that I opened to bring in. So I'm going to do the same thing to get that luck going. And so we're discussing now. So the big news on this show is Brother Lee might be the first teacher that I'm going to bring in to do a lecture. So we're still formulating it, getting places and times, but look for that. All you guys out there who know Love Aleem's work, it's my honor to bring him in to be the first teacher in hopefully a series of long lecturers and long teachers that will follow, you know, to keep this teaching going. So I've been working on that lately.
All right, all right, all right. Well, I appreciate you even thinking about me. You know what I'm saying? When you told me that the other day, I was like, what? Okay. Word. And
oh, absolutely.
You okay. Yeah, I mean,
you've always been one of my favorites.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
you've always been one of my favorites.
I was before, I think it was 94, 95, I met Bobby. And we started rolling around to the bookstores and getting books and everything. And I remember being on Fulton County Library steps. Me and Bobby was on there along with two other brothers. And he was like, man, if there's more brothers that was doing what I was doing, you know, it'd be a whole lot easier. And I was like,
All right,
Bobby, I'll do it, man. Because he already knew,
You
know, that I was already studying and stuff. And I was like, okay, man, I'll do it. You know, so
he
basically is the one who, like, convinced me in order to go on and get on the circuit and start doing some things. So, big ups to Brother Bobby. And
let's big up him. and I can see why, you know, for me personally, I can see why. Because, you know, and that's why, again, I wanted to bring you in as one of the first, because a lot of your teachings go a long way. You know what I mean? So, you know, my idea is to bring forth teachers that actually make a big impact. Not saying there's a comparison, but I guess what I am saying is you made a big impact for me. You get me? Especially early on, you know, in the study. So I just want to continue that. You know, I want people to benefit as I benefit, and many others have benefited from it. So you're one of those teachers that do that. I always thought that, like, especially for someone. You're a good teacher who can deal with a lot of advanced subjects, but for someone starting out, you could bring them into that gateway. You get what I'm saying? And you kind of walk away with having you can go further in your own development based upon some of the things you introduce, which I've always thought was the mark of a good teacher. You know what I mean? One of those where you can introduce them to a world. And when they get into that world introduced by the teacher, they can actually develop their own thing instead of being stuck and following. So that's the kind of, you know, I think for me, bringing you first kind of sets the tone for what it's going to be. So again, I could see why Bobby would say that, you know, in hindsight, of course, but I could see why he had the foresight to see you as one of those type of teachers to do that.
Right, right, right. Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on.
Oh, yeah.
And what we're going to get into tonight is the mysteries of the Holy Grail, the Pioneer, the Secrets of Life, basically, you know.
Okay, we can talk about those things.
All right, all right.
Yeah, like, I didn't know. Well, there's a couple of things I could bring up from when I was studying this subject, and, you know, because it comes down to one thing, but there's a couple of things I could bring up. I didn't know if you had something planned that you wanted to do and I add in, but there's things, and I wrote. Mm-hmm.
Now I'll just say, shoot, we'll go back and forth.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, you know, the Holy Grail, one of the biggest things that I've come across, you know, the Holy Grail, the Philosopher's Stone, and the Elixir of Life, they come up in the King Arthur mythology, which is Celtic. And really, as we should know by now, that all of this stuff is basically symbolic. But when I was studying, I found it to be actually symbolic of two things. One thing is healing, and the other thing is a spiritual immortality. Now, there's a physical healing. They have always said the vagina can be looked at as the Holy Grail, cup of life, and also, of course, the head, pineal gland being the philosopher's stone. And there's two things to support that. Now, a form of it is through tantra, through sex, and basically eating that vagina. That's a form of drinking from the Holy Grail. And, you know, the pineal gland, clitoris in this case, could be looked at as the philosopher's stone. Now, that's, and from that kind of thing, now, of course, Bobby Hemmings talked about it. Bobby Hemmings, you could have a four-course meal just eating out the vagina alone. Now, but also, as you know, that you also can have epiphanies through this, of course, in healing. So on a physical level, and I have a little bit more information on mythology that speaks to the physical level of the woman's vagina being this cup of life, this Holy Grail, this womb of life. So on a physical level, to bring, you know, children here, this is also represented in the vagina. But when you get to the both are still metaphysical, but when you get to the more occult aspect, or let's just say the second aspect, what you're talking about is your head, your pineal gland, and melanin. Simple as that. And, of course, your head is the grail itself. The philosopher's stone is the pineal gland, and the elixir of life is actually melanin. And sometimes, and I put a little note to the side, it's also looked at as the hypothalamus gland. The thalamus, I believe. It's like a small ball in the center of your brain.
Right.
I've seen occultists refer to it as the brain up under the brain, and they'll look at that as the philosopher's stone, but the pineal as a helper. They'll refer to it as the horse. And the horse is referred in the astral world as the vehicle before we had a car. So a lot of meditative, a lot of symbology. Jesus comes back in a horse. Even the headless horseman who's looking for his head. He's on this horse, or he's activated the pineal, but his head is the thing that's missing. The same guy wrote Rip Van Winkle. His name is Washington Irving, who, if you even study him, at the very least was a Mason. He did a whole biography on George Washington and all the rest of those Masons. He also wrote Rip Van Winkle, who's about a lazy guy who goes to the top of the mountain, but since he was lazy, didn't do the work. And all you're talking about is chakra work, kundalini work, and the rest of things we know that cultivate that kundalini or prana energy so it could release in your Holy Grail, which is your head. And Rip Van Winkle was alive, so he died at on the top of this hill that he climbed because he didn't work. And then when he came down and no one knew him, it just represented that he reincarnated instead of going on to that land of immortality. You know what I'm saying? It'll say the grail and the enlightenment experience is the beginning of knowing one who is immortal, or knowing the one becoming immortal, or knowing what immortality is. And that's also represented as thinking from the Godhead. You get what I'm saying? And I know you know what I'm saying. You know, I'm just the you know what I'm saying guy, but I know you understand, because a lot of this I've seen you speak on, and in fact helped me to study. Now, the grail is also represented as the caldron, which is just a pot, which is vagina, and they are both symbolic of fertility and immortality. So the fertility represents the womb again, which is still that Holy Grail. And Jesus is connected to the Holy Grail, and Mary Magdalene is also connected to the Holy Grail. If you read William Henry...
Now, check that out. Now let me interrupt, because you're absolutely on it. And I hope the audience is listening, because y'all getting, I mean, shit, he been on every damn 10 minutes, and he's dropped so many damn jewels. It's ridiculous.
We're going to get into it.
But, of course, the Vesica Piscean, you know, that, the woman, the vagina itself is the Vesica Piscean, and of course, Jesus is always in the center of that fish, which symbolizes both of them together. So this goes back to the Black Madonna.
Gateway, everlasting life.
Right.
And all of that. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, that's what's up. Now, here's a little, I guess it's like a poem they write, but I'll read it. The Caldron or rebirth vagina is a recurring theme in Celtic tales. In the Welsh story cycle, warriors slain in battle are put into it and emerged alive. Slain in battle and emerged alive. What they're talking about, as we know, when you release your sperm, they say you die. And to emerge alive, out of that, is another secret code, or can be decoded in these folklore poems or mythology. First is the mythology, which deals with archetype energy, meaning love is an archetype energy. And then there's folklore, which you say Greek mythology is still comedic mythology, but they just tailor-made it to fit what they look like in their story. So they took out archetype energy and just made it for them, just like any mythology would, Chinese mythology, Chinese. So, and I've talked about this in detail, but we once and for all can say this is all of ours, because we are the first, so this is our archetype energy. Any variation of the story is still ours. So when I'm saying Celtic myth, don't think, well, that's what the white man said. No, this is all ours. So most of it is kept alive because we think is what they said. They derive most of their pride from Norse mythology. And really, those are from poems written by a guy named Sturluson. So it's not a mythology that is as ancient as even Kemetic mythology, not to mention Sumerian mythology. And they all have the same correspondences. So with that in mind, we can start from what we know to be ours, because nothing ever really deviates from that archetype energy. So when you hear the Holy Grail, a lot of this was repeated in Celtic mythology with King Arthur. So when I studied it, I studied in that area. So we don't want to be confused, and I'll still connect it to some comedic shit. The Holy Grail, or the house itself, is Osiris, which is the subconscious mind. Heru is actually the philosopher's stone, the active point. Now, so let me just finish this poem. In old Welsh Arthurian material, Arthur goes into the underworld called Anwyth to retrieve the same magical caldron. This is probably the origin of the Grail quest, since the caldron of Anwyth is the inflexible source of food, as is the Grail. So what they're talking about, going in the underworld, on the immortal side, the side with the head, just talking about going into the subconscious mind. That's what all of these meditations are, all of these mantras, sigils, rituals, candles, all to make contact with the underworld, which is in your own mind. There's a cosmic underworld, and there's the internal underworld, which is the subconscious mind. And also the underworld is also the vagina in this case. So you had a whole bunch of this grail quest, this underworld, as an inexhaustible source of food is the Grail. This is in this poem. So again, Bobby Hemmett already dropped that the vagina is an inexhaustible source of food, that the fluids in the vagina is connected to those primal waters of noon, an inexhaustible source of food. And melanin, and all we're talking about is just melanin.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's speak on the fluids right quick, because women don't mm-hmm. understand that there's two. They don't understand their own anatomy at times, and the brothers definitely don't understand if they don't understand it. But there's
right.
two forms of orgasm, particularly that comes around from the same area, from the I guess you can say from the pee hole or
mm-hmm.
urethral
right.
area. Mm-hmm. It's basically known as a clitoris ejaculation or orgasm.
Right.
Now, what
right.
happened is that it's that watery ejaculation that sprays and gushes out. And that's one, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
the one that's the least generally known, or the least known,
mm-hmm.
because they think that it's urine.
Right.
So, you know, and unlike
mm-hmm.
urine, however, it comes from the urethral, or what's called
right.
the skinny glands. You know what I'm saying? And so, which is located on the interior wall of the vagina, right
mm-hmm.
under the lower end of the urethra, and, you know, basically is making up the what is called the G-spot, you know, during sexual arousal.
Right.
Now,
right.
what's going on is that I think the scientists found out that the fluid contains, like, glucose, which is sugar, and enzymes, which is prosthetic, acid, phosphorus. Now, that's the same component within the male. It's just like prostate fluid, but without the sperm.
Right.
You know,
Right.
And the other two substances is urea and creatinine. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now this substance is different than the milky substance that they might see in the porn flicks. You know, when
right.
the women get wet. You know, or
right.
you know, might have a vaginal orgasm. This is the, you know, the cup that they actually refer to, the fluid
right.
that fills up
right.
the cup. You know, so most
right.
women can gush as much as like a cup and a half to 2 cups of this fluid when ejaculating. You know what I'm saying? And that, of course, that's based on, you know, how hydrated a woman is, of course, and the taste
right.
of it is based on her diet. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
she has
a diet.
You know what I'm saying? That is what produces those, as Bobby would say, the OJs and the Kali's,
right.
you know,
right.
and so
and
forth, and so on. Which are, right.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. you know, what it is that women be thinking that they get ready to urinate, so they hold back. So, hence the reason why
right.
they don't have to orgasm. You
right.
know, they think they have
right.
to urinate instead of just going ahead and pushing it forth, you know, and doing what they need to do. So, these are just some little clues that I got to, you know, point out, you know,
mm-hmm.
Within it.
Yeah.
So, right, Brother Panic, man.
Most importantly, I remember you taught on it before that they were finding in so-called fibroid tumors, nails and hair, that,
right.
you know, that it was actual babies that they were finding. Meaning this is a woman is a whole self-contained system. And I believe
right.
it was you as well who said the penis is just nothing more than a key.
Right.
And you're unlocking these mysteries, basically. You get what I'm saying? You're unlocking these mysteries. So I'm sure there's just so many things in a woman, because there's times you could, as you know, you could be with your queen for a long period of time, and y'all tap into things y'all didn't even know y'all can tap into. A lot of it is with thought, with how mood, you know what I mean? Feeling, and then you try to recreate the motherfucker, and it's like this shit just ain't clicking like it was. It goes back to this median thing, you know. There were times. Now, when I was practicing with women who I was with, it was a lot had to do. I noticed with a lot of their thought. You know what I mean? It, you know, the more reserved, of course, the more reserved, but the more free they were, not just hoes, but just free in with who they were with, you know what I mean? I noticed
right.
we tapped into a lot of spiritual things, not so many physical elixirs, but so many
right.
spiritual zones. But
mm-hmm.
ultimately, that was my goal. So many different realities, so many different forms of epiphany, you know, so many different forms of enlightenment. Without all the stress and mess, just with synchronous thoughts, you know what I mean? So, you know,
yep.
it's clear in any tantric relationship, one of the keys is love, because that pretty much synchronizes the thoughts in the beginning. But anything else, I see most people are hurt because they don't understand the possibility, you know what I mean? If I was telling the story, I said, well, when I usually talk to women, they'll tell you straight up what they cannot do. You know what I mean? Guys, too. You know what I mean? or this is what I cannot do. But if they understand more of the possibilities, then the sky is the limit. You know, so that's what the, you know, that's what I think the whole study was for, to tap into the unknown. And when you tap into the, or at least have the mindset for tapping into the unknown, for these things to come online, because all of these things do come online. There was one girl I had who couldn't squirt, who did practices and made herself squirt, but she felt she could do it. You know what I mean? We're still so sexually repressed. Like, you got women talking about, I didn't even know I was supposed to have an orgasm. I knew you went better. This is something Bobby shared with me. I was like, yeah, I know it was hard to, you know, when you were dealing with the dark side. He said, actually, when I started talking about that in the 90s, he said the black community ate it up with a spoon. He said, when I started talking about Hindu mythology, which was more sexual, he said, people who had me coming in for lectures for years stopped bringing me in. People cursed me out. I heard people yelling. People would say stuff. And I damn near got hate mail. This is what he's telling me, when he started talking about the sexual thing. So the sexual thing is more of a hot topic with us than Satan, so it seems. You get what I'm saying? So with that repressive thought, you know what I mean? It's really, you know, it's really such an uphill battle. But, you know, one of the things that I do and always count on before I get into the elixir thing, because you know, what I do know is the feminine elixir is a pathway, almost a shortcut. You know what I mean? And it's probably one of the best shortcuts anyone could ever take. But at the end of the day, we're still just talking about melanin, which you own your own. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So the idea is, through the sexual thing, you still have your epiphanies, but ultimately, man or woman alone, they have to bring it up to the head eventually. You know what I mean? So the idea is supposed to be, what I personally got from it is the sexual practice is a part of it, but eventually, you know, eventually it has to be self. You have to rely on yourself to eventually join the quantum collective, if you will. If you see what I'm saying. So the fertility thing, you can realize, well, let's look at it this way. You can realize all those things through sexual practice, but ultimately you're going to have to get in yourself. And I have some notes on actually how at the end of the day it's just you, your spine, your chakras, your pineal, and your realization. And the sexual thing is supposed to help you get to that point. You know what I mean? Now, I also noticed that one of the things I realized and was able to work with was the vagina is a gateway. So the realization through the gateway is what I focused on, and usually me and the woman had the most success that way. You know what I mean? In other words, I didn't look at what she couldn't do, but looked at the archetype of her vagina and what we could do, it being a gateway. And usually the most success I had, that was more that way. You know what I mean? Conjuring something through her vagina, through sexual tantra. So whatever realization it was, or whatever deity it was, for me, it was mostly bringing deities through her. If it's a feminine deity, me as the consort, masculine deity, me becoming the deity, and her being the consort, but bringing that energy, whichever energy I was dealing with, and had a lot of success that way. I had terrible success trying to get in this position and that position and breathe and do all of that. That, you know, and I'm sure that works for some. That just didn't work for me. Just the focus was off. So what it was synchronous thoughts was like the best thing. And it took us out of the focus of, like, whatever she may have limited herself based upon her life, or my limits based upon my life. It took us out of that, and it synchronized like a common goal. And once we were able to do that goal, you know, and I'm not the first one to invent that. You know, they have that in the sexual kung fu, and that's basically a you know, one of the main things attention. But we would do things like breathe each other's breath, you know, and all the rest of that. But long as our thoughts was right and the goal was right, and we did any other ritual to set that up, we always have success. So I've never really, you know, it all depends on your power. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, and I know this is controversial, and I'm not the first one to say, Bobby's the first one to say, but I also did my own study and my own lecture on menstrual blood and already documented it. Now, you'll see, and as I go on, let's say you're not going to eat menstrual blood. We're not talking about cups of it. We're talking about just doing any magical work. That period before the blood comes, when the woman's supposed to be the so-called craziest on a cycle, that's when that, and I actually, we'll get up to that, but that particular time period is just very good just to have sex on, you get what I'm saying, for conjuring all that gateway, because involuntarily certain elixirs are also in that blood that go naturally without them knowing. And because they have accepted that they're supposed to release this liquid, you could say they weren't supposed to, or a little bit, or a lot, or never. I'm not even getting into that debate. But in the blood, in those bloods, and I went down through a whole lecture through it, there are certain things that also release then, more than just toxins. You get what I'm saying? They could be looked at as toxins if you're trying to be human. But if you're trying to do something spiritual and realize something beyond humanity, you would have to deal with it. You get what I'm saying? And it's not really just always ingesting it. I want to, you could just mix it with your sperm, put it on your altar, and have these experiences as well. So, I mean, there's so many things, as you know, I don't want to stay just in this area, so many things you could do with the, you know, with the vagina and with anything that comes out. It's still salvageable. You know what I'm saying? It's still salvageable. Oh, yeah. And I know and this is how I can guarantee is, well, I don't want to say all of that, but this is how, you know, when you watch porn, there were like three women who were squirting, not that white goo, but truly squirting. Now they have entire squirt videos of all of these girls who could squirt. It's almost like once they said you can do it, women started doing it. You get what I'm saying? So again, I'm just only trying to back up. It's really in the mind, you know what I mean? We know we can do all of these things, but the repression is what's keeping us back. You know what I mean? The repression is what's keeping us back. And as I pointed out, Bobby said they sucked up the devil, but the sexual injected the sex, that's when he had the problem. So that's where we have the problem. I think the solution is we have to look past what we was doing and start dealing with the archetypes that you can't, that no one can't disturb. The vagina is a gateway, no matter what you do. You could be a retard, but you can still have a baby. It's a gateway. So as it's a physical gateway and a spiritual gateway, as someone who's adept, or you know, you should be able to know how to utilize that gateway as well. Those elixirs are more for us, for enlightenment, but I think we're at the point now in the game where we're dealing with the head. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if we had no personal woman anymore, we could still get it done. So I don't know if that was too long and too run-on or if it was even good, but, you know.
That was beautiful, God. And shoot, okay. I mean, if they listening, they got a whole lot out of that. You know what I'm saying? Now, y'all might, you know, think, now, Brother Panda just said that, you know, he heard Bobby say it. But this is something in which that Bobby got also, in which that actually was from a book that we read back in the 90s, in which that was dealing with the Gnostic texts. And the Gnostics actually used to practice that, you know, if they masturbated or if they ejaculated, they actually would take semen and, you know, possibly the menses of the woman's cycle and mix it with wine, and they would drink
right.
And that would, you know, bring forth some type of regenerative process within the cells. And if you think that this is crazy, well, medical science asserts that at least one drop of semen is manufactured out of 40 drops of blood. And in the Ayurveda, it states that the semen is elaborated out of 80 drops of blood. Therefore, it takes 40 drops of blood to make one drop of semen.
What,
you know,
semen.
Then
right.
it would take 400 drops of blood to make 40 drops of semen. Now, we're talking
right.
about within just one tablespoon of semen, you know, according to scientific research, you know, that's equal to two pieces of meat, a steak, 10 eggs.
Right, right, right. Right, that's a full course meal. Right, you
right.
got a full
right.
course
right.
meal.
Right,
right,
right. That's
right.
protein, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, everything, you know.
Right.
So when you talk about the dying process, well, in the ejaculation, you know, oftentimes coming, well, the precise word should be going, because everything
right.
vital of energy, millions of live sperms, hormones, and nutrients go away. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
according to Dr. Stephen Chang within his book, Dials of Sexology, that he builds on that. And
right.
the crazy thing is that you're talking about 3 milligrams of zinc, in which that is lost. And
mm-hmm.
a tall tale sign of the zinc loss is actually like white spots on your fingernails. So brothers
mm-hmm.
in particular have to be careful about the zinc loss. And, of course, pumpkin seeds eaten on a daily basis, or pimento, picayune. Many
right.
other, you know, herbs such as holy goatweed, damiana, yohimbe.
Mm-hmm.
These are things
mm-hmm.
in which that we definitely need. The women, they can use danquai,
mm-hmm.
red raspberry, you know, and damiana, you know,
mm-hmm.
for their, you know, healing or, you know, deficiencies in which that occur during their menses, you know. Of course, that's the time that they lose their energy, you know, is during that time period. But that loss is also a gain, as you just made mention of, and it can be a gain if it is done properly, just like the loss
right.
of the semen can also be a gain, you know, in which that, you know, you might, you know, during these so-called Johnson & Johnson, Master & Johnson reports, they might say something like, oh, okay, you can, oh, well, you ejaculate, the woman can use this semen on her skin as lotion.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, but.
Oh, yeah.
You, you know, that's about as far as they want to go with their information, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
like you said, if you go too far with it, you know, boy, you know, like Bobby says,
right.
you might
right.
not get a lecture too, you
right.
know?
You totally, but, right. So, now, well, let me also add this, because this is some of the spiritual things I uncovered. You know, I don't think we're talking to too many people who maybe heard me a time or two on this show, they, you know.
Right.
And I say that without, you know, I say that in not a bragging way, but I say that to say that, you know, my whole thing before I've opened my mouth was for my own enlightenment, my own spiritual discovery, my own, you know, studying before I even decided to want to speak on it. So a lot of these things that came up, and you have to take it, I've everything I've talked about is how people can have these same realizations. So one of the realizations that I had, because my biggest thing was to talk to spirits. And my conversation with them, you see, and not just to talk to, like, Mayat and Osiris. I was talking to Hitler and them niggas, see what that shit was really about. You know what I'm saying? Real shit, real information that we could use. This has happened already. This is documented
right. That
it's happened. You know what I mean? This is a clear thing. Now, one of the things I asked about was the sperm. Now, and it's interesting we're talking about this Holy Grail thing. As we know, they'll say sperm travels to the head, right?
Right.
And
right.
and what's really impregnating people or the women is actually the solar phallic energy on the sperm, the light
right.
that's around the sperm. So now,
right.
sperm itself, once you enter the level of the Godhead or the Holy Grail, those cosmic zinc and cosmic nutrients, you're actually pulling from there, meaning you could jerk
right.
off every day and not deplete your physical energy. We're talking two things. You're either using your body's energy or spiritual strength. You've heard
mm-hmm.
Bobby Hemmings say before that I could talk for 8 hours because it's
right.
them talking, not me. And
right.
then I've heard, then he told me there was one time he was on 125th Street, didn't do any libations, not like it depends on libations, but it was him talking. He said he was absolutely exhausted after 3-4 hours because
right.
It was him using his energy. So that concept
right.
holds true in a lot of places. There's a cosmic, we know if there's zinc down here, there's a cosmic zinc. So the idea spiritually is for you to be able to tap into that as your source. You're right. pulling from something besides your physical will to tap into these things. You get what I'm saying? Now,
right.
For instance, back in the days, if we wanted to have a artist as a child, we would think it up before we impregnated our wife. If we wanted to have a Malcolm X or Jesus Christ or any fact, a Butcher Baker or a candlestick maker. In fact, that's why they would say, in still today in these ancient cultures, with the caste system before it was used for its racist purposes, meaning if you were born to a farmer, you were born here and you made the choice to be a farmer. This also shut down the ego. You didn't have that option to say, well, I want to be a lawyer, doctor. I would like vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream. They were shutting down the ego. You ate one fucking thing. You did what your father did. You get what I'm saying? And you marry who they told you to marry. They cut out choices. You get what I'm saying? For the purpose of streamlining the ego so you can live your purpose you were born unto for your revelation down here, even if it is to be a street sweeper. That's why you were here,
right.
If your father was a street sweeper. So the idea of you, this whole, even you take this heroic line, these kings and queens, by them recycling within the same family, keeping it pure, because the idea, it was the thoughts that needed to be cultivated or maintained. So as a priest, a shaman, spiritualist, you should be able to not deplete your own solar phallic energy, not deplete your own energy. Not, you know, that's a while to do that. That, you know, not everybody can do that. So everyone should need to listen and just say, look, you're losing 3 milligrams of zinc. You need to replace that or watch what you're doing. But the idea is to get to that point where you're not losing it in the body. Because at the end of the day,
Right, that's where the sciences of Qigong and Tai Chi come in at, as well as also brain killing and Reiki.
Okay.
Alternative healing is that you can pull, like you said, from the universal life force energy,
right.
You know what I'm saying, and concentrate within you, you know, which the Kundalini is that. But however, like you said, those who are unaware
who are not
up to that conscious level and cannot draw forth from the universal energy, you know, they themselves use their own energy and deplete themselves. So, you said, that's the mastering of these sciences. And in fact, you know, the semen is 21% brain cerebral fluid.
Cerebral fluid.
And go to the Holy Quran, I think it's the 86th chapter, the 5th through the 7th verse. It goes like, now let man but think for what he is created. He is created from like a drop, emanating, proceeding from between the backbone and the ribs. So it's speaking about the fact of the sperm descending from out the heavens, you know, down the backbone, which of course is the 33 vertebrates and rib area to reside within the testicles, you know, to be gushed forth. So, I mean, this everything that we talk about, this is all chemically, medically, occult, esoterically.
Right.
Metaphysical.
Lined up.
All
right.
Connected. Right. Astrologically.
Correct. Right.
It's all connected.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So,
you can line it up and it can be backed up. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, so, you know, where I was going is that, you know, so I talk from the context, usually when I talk, as if you're hearing this, then you have basically made it or you're on that path. So I always speak in the context of, no, you should be doing that. So people have something to shoot for instead of buying just zinc at the store, because you may need to do that now. But, you know, if I could do it, anybody could do it. You know what I'm saying? If I could accomplish this, it wasn't really that hard. It just took a love and dedication for knowing that it can happen and doing whatever it took to make happen. You know, I have the faith that we all can do it. So I usually talk from as if we're, you know, on that level. So, but I know, you know, not everybody's there. Not everybody even thinks they should be having sex. You know what I mean?
Right.
So to keep on the subject, we was going to the head in terms of how the Holy Grail pertains to the head as well. And I got a lot of stuff on that, so I'm going to get into a little bit of that stuff as well. Now, if you're ready for me, I'll go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, okay. In the Celtic mythology, there's an item called the Caldron of the Head of Hades. Even though Hades is the Egyptian deity, they still speak of the head of Hades. And which could be found at Kher Pedrevan, the four-cornered castle or the fire castle. Now, when they talk about this house, they're talking about your head. When they talk about four corners, they're talking about your head. That's why they always tell you to think outside of the box. The fire castle is nothing but the Kundalini risen. The Caldron or Head of Hades is the fire castle. So, again, it comes down to that same thing we know, illuminated Kundalini as the holy, the place of the Holy Grail, or the Grail or the Caldron itself. This castle was a special and magical place where the people were said to drink sparkling wine. Whenever you see that sparkling wine, you know they're talking about melanin. They're talking about that elixir of melanin. They also refer to the period blood as wine as well. And again, I did a whole thing on that before. Now it says the word Kher, which is found at Kher Pedrevan, the word Kher itself means hill or sacred mound. Hill or sacred mound. So when you hear hill or sacred mound, they're talking about the pineal gland. There's in Egyptian mythology, this hill that first derived out of the waters of Nun is called Pn. There's a god named Pn that sits in that hill. That hill in Egyptian mythology is also called the Field of Reeds. And in Greek mythology, the Eucerin Fields. And it's said to be the first place of the quantum world. That's why when you see in the movie Gladiator, each time he would die, he was walking through this field, which looks like wheat, but it's their version of the Field of Reeds or this place called Pn. Also in the movie Knowing with that one that just came out, it's about the 2010 with Nicolas Cage. In the end, the two kids, they were also walking through this Field of Reeds. There was another one I can't remember. In wheat, right, because that represents the afterlife. Now, there was one time I died in my sleep and seen this field. I'll keep this short.
I think that was shown, too, on the movie Gladiator, wasn't it?
Yes, Gladiator. That's what I'm saying.
They always show that.
That wheat. Each time he would die, he was walking to this house through this wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was one more movie where they did that, but it's clear that's deep in Egyptian mythology.
Also with Robin Williams, where dreams may come, when he was running.
Yes,
you know, that's
the one. Yes, that was his idea of heaven. Yet another one, and which is one of the badass movies on the astral world. They went through the Akashic Records and all of those things. You know what I mean? They gave you misinformation, like. It was wheat. That was his dream. He was like, "You're painting this dream." That's where he landed with his dog Anubis. You know what I mean? And that's one of the baddest movies on the astral world. Like, even when he was going to go on that cosmic boat, and they showed nothing but black people, they showed the chaos realm, and he said, "Nah, your wife is not on that boat." But they was going to go on that cosmic boat, which is the solstice, which is the boat of Captain Hook. In Peter Pan, they talk about the soul. It was that cosmic boat, and in that movie they showed it was all colored folk. Actual actors were all not just in makeup, but they were actually black. You know what I mean? About 85% of them showing that's the real realm. He was in that astral world, and they also said in that movie all this shit where you go in the astral world just based on based upon thought. You get what I'm saying? So based upon her degraded thought, and then they gave you the misinformation in the end. It was like, we're going to go back to Earth and do all this shit again. It's like, wait a minute. You just went through some bullshit. You might as well chill here. You know what I'm saying? Just the mere fact that something that ridiculous can happen is enough to say, I ain't going back to that motherfucker no more. But they did at least point out that that boat gets you, symbolically gets you out of the astral world. They say physically what happens when you die is those jet streams that are on the earth, your spirit, your soul is actually following those jet streams. And the last jet stream goes from the west, just like we have, the one that comes from the west coast to the east coast, from the west to the east, then you go to the north, where the magnetosphere is the thinnest, and the magnetosphere is the web of Isis. So that's where you meet Ra in the sun boat, and you go through the sun. So they said the souls are actually doing that. They showed that shit in the third Pirates of the Caribbean, when up was down and down was up and all of that shit, when he went to Davy Jones' locker, and they showed the souls in the boat going to the north, where it was represented he was going. They showed the boat screen across the sky, which was cosmic. So they say you also could get caught in the Allen Belt in that area. So the Davy Jones locker was represented as the Allen Belt with in that movie. So they show, and this is from the Book of the Dead, and a good interpretation of that is the Isis Thesis by Judy K. King, where she goes into that interpretation, which you see played out in that movie. But it is from one of them, the Book of the Gates, or one of them that she's breaking down. And it, so they show it all the time, the move, how you're supposed to move out of here, and all of those damn things. And they show it in these movies all the time, what dreams may come. But that end world, what's now what we get in this, they call this, if you look at it from the cosmic side, out of the waters of Noon, they have this mound. Like, you know, the Native American mounds, that primordial mound is represented as the pioneer of this first thing coming into matter. And it's called, the god of this is PN, which is Pan, which is the baby Harpocrats, or PN, pineal gland. So this field of reeds represents the pineal gland. And as you see in the movies that we lined out, they walk through the field of reeds and then get to their home. So the pineal gland is the vehicle to get to the home, which represents the immortality. So this firehouse, this house of fire, or this the Kundalini energy, is just nothing more than the same process we already know about dealing with these particular chakras. Let me say it now, if nobody should know by now. I've been selling herbs for the last 2 years. I sent you some to Leon. I don't know if you got your package yet. That help with the pineal. I call it the pineal pack. Everyone should know. Email me, PANICPACK at Hotmail. Get you one. It works with your pineal, deals with the calcification. It's not an experience that gets you high. It's all natural herbs. You can eat every one of them, put them on your dinner. The only warning is if you have a lactating baby or pregnant, I would say not use it. But this is all natural. You can either smoke this or you can drink it as a tea. What it would do is start to work with your pineal, activate your pineal. So everyone has told me a different story once they dealt with these herbs. I've channeled these herbs way on when I was doing my own thing, and later the spirit told me to sell them, and it's been 2 years, and the story speaks for itself. So it's, the pineal is key as how you're going to get a subspace message out, they say, in Star Trek, but what you're actually doing is starting to have a quantum reality. And you and of course, this all goes with lucid dreaming, astral traveling practice, which eventually goes to lucid dreaming, so you can start to become competent in that state of mind. So you can bring back some usable information to this reality. So the herbs that do that, astral traveling, lucid dreams, that's and meditations. All of these things need to be done because you're taking an inner journey within yourself to open up that pineal gland. Once that pineal gland is open or working, or you're competent in that world, the sky is the limit. So this KR or Fire Hill, Fire Castle, which is the illuminated head, which is the Holy Grail, a sacred mound, a reference to the primordial mound, the ancient shamanistic concept associated with the vortex of creation. In other words, this K.R. Pedravan, the four-cornered fire castle, represents both primordial mound and the matrix of creation itself. It's also home to the caldron of the head of Hades, the head of the god of the underworld or the afterlife. Hades is also Osiris. Hades is also Osiris. So this represents the Holy Grail represents the head of Osiris. The journey represents or the redemption represents, and Arthur also has to redeem his father. Redemption represents Horus, or the battle of Horus and Set. Set, not evil in the classic, but Set representing matter or your conscious thought itself that interrupts your subconscious revelation. The ego itself is Set. The ego itself is Set. Not where he's going to do right. something bad to your child in an elevator. But Set also represents our old rulership, too. It's meaning there was Set worship before it was the Big Dipper was the chest of Osiris. It was the thigh of Set. Mog Morton's book, he goes into the detail of pre-dynastic worship of Set in that book, Mog Morton.
Now, that goes right back to the Old Testament in Genesis, where it speaks about Jacob was wrestling with the angel, well, of course, within the Jewish traditions is Uriel, which is nothing more than Lucifer, and he was hitting
right.
his thigh, you know, and
right.
then he was, you know, his name was changed and he ascended, you know, because the name was Israel, which means to ascend to God. So definitely, that's where all of that comes
right.
from.
Right, right. Same correspondence. Now, even in Mog Morton's book, they said the pre-dynamic Egyptians used to cut themselves up in their burial rites, which later became Set cut up Osiris. And Bobby used to say it, but I got this confirmation myself. He used to say, well, what the priest would do was take some of the old worshiping ways and demonize because the people were old with, let's just say, Set, they would have to demonize Set to give you a new god, which you could say is Osiris. And to demonize Set, in Set's mythology, they would encode the old ways. I say, oh, that makes sense. But then I seen two things. I seen it straight out in the book. It was a book I got at Strands. I can tell you the name. It's one of them really old books with a lot of pictures. I mean, it's Egyptian mythology by Veronica Irons. But in it, she talks exactly that. All the priests encoded old things. And then I found more proof. They said Khonsu is the old Tahuti. And then there's a mythology where Tahuti beats Khonsu in a chess game. So I remember somebody saying, well, Khonsu, Tahuti beat her. I said, no, that's a prime example of them trying to tell us something, which means Tahuti is the new Khonsu. It has nothing to do with Khonsu
right.
being less or more.
Right.
But that they were,
right.
in other words, it proved that they used to, that's how they did it. It would seem like the new ones were beating them, or somehow they would demonize the old ones. And then Bobby also
right.
made another point. He said to the new Christian, Judaism, which was before it, was evil. And then to the Islam, Christianity was evil. Meaning these things are happening now. They get cast as evil as we move on. So that makes plenty of sense. So there are a few books on Set worship, and the movie Conan, which they actually got a movie about the guy who wrote Conan. They said, and they showed it in the movie, but the story is, which they do show in the movie, what's that girl who was in Jerry Maguire, the ugly one that squints? She was in it, and what's the dude? I wouldn't even know his name, but the dude was in the cell with the big dude that was in the movie The Cell with Jennifer Lopez. Renee Zellweger and this dude, he's an Italian dude.
Right.
If y'all know your movies, he played Pyle in that army movie. I don't even remember that name to do the reference. Long story short, they did it about this guy who wrote Conan's life, and he used to be in trance when he was writing the movie Conan. And we all know in the Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan, We got you see the black man, James Earl Jones, turn into that snake, which was a temple of Set worship at that time in Sumerian time. So now in the Mog Morton book, it brings it to the Osiris thing, and basically Osiris is nothing. You don't hear this nigga frolicking in the park. You don't never hear him, you know, his college life, nothing. He is the subconscious mind. You get what I'm saying? And you can look at that whole subconscious as him as the pineal and the sun behind the sun, which is the pineal, and all of these things. But what's being played out is his resurrection. So now for us, Set worship represents who we were before we came here and ruled. Us coming down here as Set and moving on to eventually Horus, the tale of two brothers. Ye get behind me, Satan, which is nothing but Set behind Horus, which is nothing more than a representation of our transformation down here. And we're fighting our own selves, our own ego, which represents as the old us, not evil in the classic sense, but as that old becoming something new. So that also, Horus represents the cup or the grail. Osiris and Set are basically the same thing. That's, Osiris became more of that subconscious mind as the god of the dead, which represents your subconscious mind. You know Osiris is there, but it's just is dead because this conscious mind or your ego rules, Set's ruling. So each time you're doing some work, which is Horus, Kundalini, chakra, meditation, breathing, fucking eating, whatever you're doing is representing you taking steps to redeem your subconscious mind or your true mind or yourself. Or it's the quest for the grail, or the quest for the grail is telling that same story. You know, once again, remember the Caldron on the head of Hades. Hades is the lord of the underworld, which is nothing but your subconscious mind now in the underworld. Hades, Osiris, same thing. Head of the god of the underworld, or is also known as the god of the afterlife. It says trance state was the only initiatory experience, a state of consciousness which led to a kind of rebirth or resurrection. In other words, trance state is an experience that will trigger another experience, namely the enlightenment experience. Now, most people, when I hear them meditating, they're usually meditating for a better body, which is just as fine. Meditating with the chakras, which is fine, but at the end of the day, we got to remember the chakras are a ladder, and every ladder goes somewhere. When you arrive at a destination, it's rare you talk about how great the steps were or how great the airplane was. You talk about the destination, but you do want to make sure you are on a valuable bridge to get there. You get what I'm saying? I did something on Norse mythology, and they talk about the Bifrost Bridge, which you could see in the movie Thor. And it's the bridge to other realms. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Said by Heimdall. And Heimdall's energy was Guru. When Guru passed, Guru came through as Heimdall, and then they announced they was doing Thor, and then they announced a black man was playing Heimdall, which is the pineal gland.
That same bridge was shown in the transitioning of I think Dragon Ball Z. When Goku when he died, when he had to go into the the other planes in order to see the the Budokai. You know, he had to go across this bridge every time. So, yeah, that bridge is always shown.
And they represent it as the rainbow, or the actual rainbow with a pot of gold in the leprechaun, representing the pineal gland, or best, or harpocrats, or pan again, PN. That same concept over and over. See, one of the things, I bullshit you not. One of the things I loved about Aleem was one of his meditations, he used to say, look, we ain't got time to touch each finger to our thumb. You make a fist where you tap into all that shit at once. Give him a saying. Which, see, that kind of shit was inspirational to me because it said, oh, it helped me to form. It said, I get it. I'm not going to waste my time with the ooms and the ahs. I'm going to assume I did that shit right And then, as this book says, I want to namely having a fucking enlightenment experience. I don't want to do all this shit just so I can walk around oppressed but feeling good. You know what I'm saying? I ate my spinach today. How about you? Like, no, I want to have something outside of the body, which means you do have to do this work. The breathing, the kundalini, eat what you need to eat to make right, because you don't want your body to interrupt when you're in certain states of mind, because it will. You know what I mean? In fact, I had to go back to some scratch and start drinking some spirulina and shit, because I was doing so much spiritual work, I would neglect the physical, started to pay for it.
That's
so now, you know, I'm got nettles and tart cherry and milk thistle and all the rest of that kind of shit, just to keep it going. You get what I'm saying? So you do have to pay attention to that, but ultimately, remember, that goal is this body is a vehicle to go to another place. And that other place you're going to is another place of, let's just call it a place of realization at this point. You're trying to have an otherworldly realization. If you're trying to have worldly realizations, all you need to do is go on Google. So why even do this? Wikipedia got you if you're trying to increase your worldly enlightenment. If this is about otherworldly enlightenment when you're dealing with the quest for the grail. You get what I'm saying? The process of enlightenment through which one became transformed or reborn. So this rebirth is being birthed and to dwell amongst the gods. Now, of course, that rebirth factor, you clearly understand why it's connected to the feminine and to the womb, based upon the physical rebirth and based upon all the healing properties in the vagina itself. That will become a rebirth, but the ultimate to live and dwell amongst those gods is a different form of rebirth. It's a reordering of your thinking. Now, I've tried my best, and I think to some success, to explain why a lot of earthly events don't affect me in the same way. I've become what they now call the watcher. I watch that these things are bad, and I do understand no one wants to see such and such happen to a little black girl. But because I made the decision a while ago to move out of a human reality, a total human reality, let's say that, because there's nobody talking about standing on a mountain talking to a rock, you know, with a robe and a stick. We're talking about a big change in perspective, which is the Godhead, which is you would have to see and know something beyond here to feel it, to realize it, to understand it, to commune with it, maybe on more than just guess what happened to me the other night, to commune with on that level, to really shift into something that's beyond this place. We don't get to say we are Lord of all the worlds, find out there's more worlds than we could count, and then hold on to earth like that. That's slavery, by any other name. The Italian word lizard means shining lights. It's similar to the etymology of the word wizard. So whenever you see lizard, and we'll talk about the shiny ones, lizard, snake, frog, they're talking about the primal energy. We know already the first circuit in the brain is the reptilian brain, and it is your damn near autonomic functions. And they said the characteristic is that loner, same, and they said that actual brain is the ceiling on any reptile brain. So with that being said, that was always represented as the kundalini life force, always. They said if you take Ayahuasca, any of these shamanistic drugs, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, you see one thing, a snake, because a snake is represented as that primal life force. They said in every shamanistic culture, they use a snake. In every ancient culture, a snake had a place and a symbol. This because it represents that life force. So there's a lizard. That's why you get the name wizard. So when you hear them trying to call these people reptilians and all of that, that's it just can't be true. They just wasn't here long enough. See, to buy into that is another way of saying, well, then they got a whole system beyond Earth that's beyond us. We can't have it both ways. We can't say, well, we created the white man on Earth, and we created him here. But then somehow he has a whole reptilian system somewhere that can possibly kick our ass on planet Earth or any planet. It's like we contradict ourselves when we say, well, they just crawled out the caves 2,000 years ago. But Kabbalah is for the white man. Kabbalah, and this doesn't make any sense to me. You got to have it one way. Either we made them here and they running amok, or seemingly running amok, or we're having this big cosmic reptilian battle with them. You get what I'm saying? It never made any sense. Now, and of course, this contradiction, so I asked Bobby, who we know studied on, he said that came from one place originally, which was the books of Zachariah Sitchin. You know, according to Bobby, this came from Zachariah Sitchin. He said he was paid to put out a lot of misinformation, simple as that. Now, there's even other white fellows that dispute this. For instance, the Robert Temple book, when he goes into the Anunnaki. You get what I'm saying? He talked about this because the Anunnaki was supposed to be these reptilians. And they keep the story going because they showed that in Predator. Predator versus Alien, I believe. They showed there was this ancient race, and they came down here, they gave us technology, but they was whipping our ass, taking sacrifices, and, of course, mining for gold. Now, I just don't get this mining for gold thing, meaning if you advance enough to travel to another planet, you can't – even Da Vinci was, like, turning lead to gold. You can't figure that shit out by now. You know what I'm saying? So he gave a lot of the Anunnaki – he broke down a lot of the 50 Anunnaki to the 50 stars in Sirius, the 50 solstice that later became three, the 50-headed dog Cerberus, which later became three, the 50 in a boat that later became the three goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean – meaning
50 stargates or channels within tunnels within the mine, yeah.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Which were the tunnels of Set at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So all of that to say, we got to understand these things do come from something. I heard someone said the etymology of words mean nothing. You know what I mean? I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. You talking about just nigger or nigga, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't even make any sense. If you want to, you know, first and foremost, spiritually, these words in the original, you can even go back to Latin, which what else is Latin, French, and there's Greek. These words still had our energy on them, and these words were based upon an intention. So even if you're saying it and meaning something else, you still got that intention on it. For instance, this was one of the things that came spiritually. The word naga, of course, we know is nigger. But since we've been nigger, 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 nigger in it, that same frequency is on it, and that's a kundalini energy which has been heating up the planet. So even while we think we just, we got to stop saying nigger, it's a mantra that's been heating up the planet. In other words, we got this. And we know this to be true because all of a sudden you had white people coming out saying, we need to stop saying nigger. You get what I'm saying? Around the time Al Gore dropped that his little documentary about the planet heating up. You get what I'm saying? So with the etymology of words, you can find out. I'm sorry, say it, bro.
Oh, I was just saying unconventional truth. Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, right, right. Inconvenient truth. When he dropped inconvenient truth, now, even for me, I've heard, this is heating up. You know, Texas had to close down the garage today. Sporadically, when he documented that shit all under one umbrella, even me, myself, I said, now I see how we went in. Now I see it clear as day. But he had to say all of that shit in one sitting. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
I said, oh, now I'm getting, but then I just remember fifth grade. They told you heat was energy.
Right.
So the planet is heating up, global warming, that means it's gaining energy. So, I mean, we know what that is. Not to mention, like I said, if you want to take my spiritual thing, there was a point where I got to a certain level where people from other planets would call on me the same way we call on spirits, would call on me, I would go to their planet. One time, somebody called on me, and this has never happened to me before. So I'm in the lucid dream, I'm trying to talk to them, but they couldn't hear me. And I realized in the dream that they called on my spirit, because as I'm nodding off, I heard them calling panic. And I seen them doing, like, rituals and everything. So I'm on that planet, and it was another version of us. They was calling the white man something different. But I remember telling them, no, y'all about to have a greenhouse effect. That's it. Y'all in the last stage. I'm telling them, and I had to constantly yell it to them, and then I started seeing them starting to hear me as, like, epiphanies, the same type of epiphanies that we have here with spirits, like, oh, yeah, I think, you know, okay, I know that. Then we start getting the so-called coincidences. Oh, yeah, I was just saying that, and now that happened. Oh, that's a color, and you just came in with that color. That they was getting me just like that, but all I just was yelling and repeating, no, look for the greenhouse effect, look for the green. So when I got up, that's when I knew. I said, okay, this is it. The greenhouse effect is that stage. You can call it Ice Age 2012, whatever you want, but whatever it is, this is that time now. This is that time. This is the time where all this shit comes to a motherfucking head. Which I don't think I really need to, you know, everyone should know that, you know, by now. Now, check this out. The word lizard and the word wizard translates in Latin as ophir, which they associate the snake and the serpent with ophir, as you get in philosophy, ophir is stone. So you got, again, in the philosopher's stone, ophir, the wizard or the lizard. Remember, the wizard has that pointy hat, which is nothing but a pyramid or a caldron. And the ophir is nothing but the philosopher's stone. Now, which is connected to Kundalini once again. And you also get the name Sophia. And it's the female name for the word wisdom. And the name itself represents the personification of wisdom. Ophir, wizard, lizard, philosopher. All the same shit, all talking about Kundalini, or all talking about the wise one. You get what I'm saying? The wise one. The word Sufi is connected in that sofa too. Now, they have the origin of the word commonly as the word safa, means purity, and wool, referring to the
right.
Now they say it was referring to the cloaks of the Muslim, that the aesthetic Muslim. But you know, they're talking about the goddamn hair of the black Moor,
right?
You know what I'm saying? The black man, the woolly headed one, they call them. But the word also means the Arabic word safa means purity or purity. This guy, Sufi al-Rid Habari, he said, the Sufi is the one who wears wool on top of purity, meaning your afro on top of your pure head. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Which is another reference to this caldron. The wisdom needs to be in the head. It's not
right.
Too much what we don't know, but we just keeping it going along this subject. All this wisdom resides in the head. This is where the grail is. When you search for the Holy Grail, it represents you going through the chakras to find it in the head. And then I'm going to get into other shit.
Now, isn't that a form of the Baphomet in which that is used today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which
see, the Baphomet.
Scary to most people, especially those who study the Illuminati information, and they get so inundated with that, and they lose track on what these symbols actually mean.
Right. Oh, yeah. All the time. I love something Bobby said, but at the end of the day, more if you look with your own face in your own eyes, you see 1,000, to be more, you see at least 10 symbols of enlightenment with that one symbol, and that's all a symbol ever was. I try to tell people, what are you really mad at? Because you're only looking at a goat. So, like, what's really got you in an uproar? So, but I know what's in the uproar because it symbolizes something. To be mad at it means you don't understand the symbol. You get what I'm saying? At the very least, Bobby Hemmett done debunked Satan a gazillion years ago. And this is something I say. How come when any occasion comes up for a conscious nigga in Jesus, a conscious nigga is the first nigga to say there ain't no Jesus, then what makes you think there is a Satan? You get what I'm saying? There is no Satan. You're just talking about opposite polarities. And one of the things I always mention in the Bible, out of darkness comes light. The true path to any of this light you want to see, and you need to see your subconscious mind. Now, here's where, what Bobby came said that came in that made it so perfect. He said, I'm sick of seeing pictures like, he ain't heavy as my brother, you know, a black man holding another black man's hand, the woman with a earth in her belly, and all that. He said, those pictures are nice, but they're not challenging. These pictures that you see are so-called scary are challenging, and they're really challenging your own subconscious mind. Now, one of the things that I discovered was fear. I said, well, what is fear for besides it going haywire? And I never knew this until I spoke it, and I was like, well, when I meditate sometimes, and one of the best techniques is taking your two eyeballs while your eyes are closed, pointing it towards your pineal. You create a pyramid, and then you shut down the regular human world, and you start to open up the pineal. That's that open eye you see on the $1 bill, which is another symbol people think is the Illuminati. Which is, it's a pyramid with an eye on it. Enough already. You know what I mean? This happens, and you'll start to see light figures in your pineal, and they will slowly turn to faces. Sometimes I see cities, pyramids, but they're all with light. But these first faces are actually scary faces. I didn't realize people start saying, yeah, I see those too, and they said they'll stop. I said, no, what I discovered is you're supposed to focus on those scary places. That's when you're making progress. That's when you are confronting your fears. You are confronting your demons. You're going to a place spiritually that you were kept out of by your own self and your own fear, nothing to fear but fear itself. So when you're looking at these scary faces, I see monsters, skulls, teeth, and all sorts of shit. Eventually, they'll start turning to angels and flowers and thousand petal lotuses, all that sweet shit you see. But ultimately, by me sticking with, most people said, no, I would see that and I would stop, I would open my eyes. I said, oh, you're not facing your fear. So when you see things like Baphomet, there's another guy, matter of fact, I have his book, so I'm going to get his name. He's an artist, and he's done the work for Alien. He created Alien, and he's done another one. I don't think it was The Matrix, but he does that same artwork. His name is H.R. Giger, and if you look him up, he's done a lot of movie work. H.R. Giger, H period R period G-I-G-E-R-S, and he did a Necronomicon book. This book is out of print. It's an art book, and I got it. It's one of them big-ass books where it's just insane artwork. That shit from, oh, he did Species. That remember that three-part series, the alien girl Species? He's designed all of that. So he has one of those 6 months. He's done a few Baphomets. And what you're talking about is an artist who's dealing totally with his subconscious mind. He used to see these things. You get what I'm saying? So the subconscious mind comes with otherworldly things that would look grotesque in this world. And that's because you're supposed to be dealing with this because you're dealing with something else. You're actually busting through your own fear of what these things are. And this fear is generated by you having an ego. I used to say when I was little, I remember everything. My mind now, I remember having when I was a baby. I remember drinking a bottle. I remember my aunt sticking me with a pin, changing my diaper. But I remember my real thoughts as panic slipping deeper in as I stubbed my toe. Burned my hand on the stove, didn't get what I want with dinner. In other words, my humanity started taking over based upon disappointment, based upon me being scared of falling down the steps and hurting my knee of pain. You start to shrink within yourself, and you just become a baby and dumb like everybody else. Coming conscious, I started to remember those thoughts, meaning I was the same guy before that fell deeper in humanity, which would be natural, but was able to get out of it. Now, this subconscious mind thing, so as you fall into this humanity, you start to set up blocks for your subconscious mind. A baby is total subconscious mind, total whim. Feed me shit and sleep. And then when it's able to do things, it does what it wants. It would run in the street. It would touch the stove. It would walk off a fucking building. It has nothing to block it. Your conscious mind or your ego is what blocks you from walking out in the street, just doing some generally dumb shit. You get what I'm saying? Eating a hot Frank off the stove or whatever. It generally blocks you from that. So that comes with fear. The ego is nothing but fear. So your work is to bust back through that fear. And you bust back through that fear through actually confronting nothing to fear but fear itself or that statement of facing your own demons. So most of these white boys, they do it on a surface level based upon their rock music. So all that Ozzy and throwing up the fingers and drawing all that crazy stuff is in their mind. So since it's in their subconscious mind, but they don't even understand what it's for, that's why you have a culture of goth and rock music and more of that stuff. And then black people who are conscious look at it because they associate it with white people, say, oh, that's just the white man shit. You get what I'm saying? But what you have is a white man playing out his subconscious mind or the archetype of our subconscious mind. He's playing it out because it has nothing to do with his transformation. So since it's in him, that's how he's expressing himself. But these things are for our transformation. So these dark figures, these Baphomets, these so-called demons, which is Damien, which means genius, that's in us as well. We're suppressing it, thinking we're some people of light and good that pick fruit off the trees. We are those things. But to get down to some work, you're going to have to deal with the dark portion of yourself, which is represented as Satan, just the other polarity of your Christ energy. You need to go through the dark to get to the light. We don't understand that. We think we're the light beings, and these white people are the dark beings. That's ridiculous. Because they don't have no way to do any alchemy. What you see is them expressing it in that crazy art, that crazy music they're doing, jumping off the stage and beating themselves in the head with bottles because it's in them, but it's no way for them to get it out, to understand what that process is. Our process for this is to deal with these, to communicate with our subconscious mind. But since they can't get over the fact that Euphias Levy has made this image. But I've been told, Bobby broke this down, he made that image in adoration for the Moors of Baphomet. And then a lot of people would say, and don't even get this, there's an Egyptian deity named Baphomet. And Baphomet has the attributes of Baphomet, even though they say it's not the same thing. So people ask me, some people who try to go further say, well, is Baphomet Muhammad? I said, no, Baphomet may be Muhammad if you want to have an edition and people could do the work. I never did look hard enough to see. But Baphomet is just a symbol of the goat head created by Euphias Levy in representation or adoration of the Moors, and it's just a symbolic picture. It cannot do nothing to you, but it represents that wisdom. What can do something to you is the fact that he put it in a five-point pentagram, which is an archetypal shape. So basically by having that five-point pentagram, if you understand about that pentagram and it being upside down, when you turn it upside down, the house that's in the middle becomes right side up. You are then pulling energy from the cosmos into you. So I have a Baphomet ring. I wear it backwards with the point pointing towards me, meaning I'm pulling off the energy. They said even white folks do rituals with that, where if they're trying to give some energy, they turn the ring where the point is pointing towards the object or the center, or if they're trying to gain energy, they point it towards them because they understand that the five-point star is man, two legs, two arms, and a head. But you're pointing it up, which means, people like to point that pentagram up, which means you're giving your energy up to the cosmos. Yep. And your house is upside down. So by pulling it down, it's a symbolic thing. It's really not a big thing. And if everyone who's conscious is so big, bad, and mighty, you just looking at a goat. You know what I'm saying? People are saying things like, I've seen people say things like, that symbol's never done anything for me. I'm like, you're too ignorant to really know how sad that statement is for you. It's a kundalini energy. It's a kundalini picture. It's an androgynous picture. You get what I'm saying? It's a picture talking about polarity, duality, one hand up towards the dark, one down towards the light. You get what I'm saying? But it's not really that deep. You get what I'm saying? In fact, I use it more because it's represented as the god Pan, and my name is Panic. So on a personal level, it's an energy for me. But I wouldn't stop there. I'd fuck with everybody, everything. But that's it balances a certain energy in me. Otherwise, it would just be another thing. You know what I'm saying? Which is not that bad. There's more of these so-called lovely pictures I think is more ridiculous because it keeps you in your prison called humanity. And now, again, it'll be another topic, but, I mean, in most of the Gnostic information is where these later day Egyptians just straight up told you, look, we ain't got no time for you walking around with Amenhotep and Rahotep. We're going to tell you straight out. This is what we were talking about in the end result. And the end result is, look, you fucked up coming down here. You need to get out and never come back. And then when you read and study not just how beautiful the Egyptian people were, but what they were actually saying, you'll realize all they were talking about was getting the fuck out and never coming the fuck back either. So in all mythologies, once you get to that decoding level of the game, it's like, no, they're talking about never coming back. So a lot of these pro-human things, which is the cause of our suffering, I look at that. That's more offensive than anything that, you know, technically. And in my book, which I haven't talked about, there's a deity called Shub-Niggurath, which is a Necronomicon deity channeled by H.P. Lovecraft. Shub-Niggurath is basically constantly giving out, the energy. But this is one of the things in my book, so I won't go too deep till it's done, that Baphomet is Shub-Niggurath represents the chaos. She's also a he-goat and all the rest. He represents the chaos form of this. Baphomet represents that chaos form enlightened, meaning he is no longer giving out energy with that kundalini force. He is now pulling in energy. So it represents a transformation thing. So in any ritual where you have to give something out or change something, you would use Shub-Niggurath. Anything where you're trying to get under control, you would use Baphomet, so on and so forth. So when I was in that mood of writing, I went deeper in the zone. But all these things are symbolic purposes. Your subconscious mind deals with symbols, the end. You're not having a straight-out conversation.
Let's deal with that because a lot of people aren't understanding. When we talk about Baphomet and Shub-Niggurath, we talk about melanin.
Which
is viewed as a battery that is partially charged and that can only accept an electrical charge. So when sunlight or any other energy comes in contact with that melanin battery, it increases the charge of the battery to a certain degree. Now, that's what you have your three dantians for. Your lower dantian, which is your navel, your heart dantian, which is your heart chakra, and your third eye, or, you know, dantian, which is called your upper chakra, or also referred to as the upper room. Now, when the energy, you use those to capture the energy, and the battery has more energy to use in the body. Now, this means that, the human being can charge their melanin, you know, with this unique ability of absorbing various energy sources and convert those absorbed energies into reusable energy later. That's the science of the Qigong and the Tai Chi, you know. And so this includes, you know, the music vibrations, as Bobby always speaks about the muse, or the sound waves, or the sun rays, the sun heat, like you just finished talking about, you know, the light rays, and et cetera. Matter of fact, there's a, in Dr. Frank Barr's theory, he says matter is shaped and structured by light. You know what I'm saying? Now, you got this is not light, like just visible light, like we always think. This is prana, or chi, or ki energy, which is which is not visible, as we would say. This is Amen Ra. This is the hidden substance.
Right, the hidden God.
The hidden light.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And these molecular or melanin combinations eat light in order to maintain and expand and evolve matter.
Right.
So the more highly evolved a species, the more complex its biological capacity to use this light.
And I'm so glad you said that, because we could get right to the point when if thoughts are light and these simple concepts like Baphomet, your thoughts think of them as corrupt. You sabotaging yourself if thoughts are light. As Brother Lean just said, this is food. The Baphomet is a symbol or just a name of a certain battery type. Just like there's AA, AAA, a car battery, B battery, C batteries. The Egyptians were fucking insane with naming every single form of light or every single form of energy. There is nothing that breaks shit down. They found the God light in fucking everything. The door, Shem Shabu, and the bookcase, Flut Nahu, and all. They found the God name in everything. So they gave definition.
Now that's
color.
Something else that you just said, because we don't understand that the light that he's talking about, the spirit. The spirit in
right,
the Africans, Native Americans, and all the indigenous people, the Aborigines, they all believe that there's spirit in everything.
I mean,
Japanese scientists
just
rediscovered that there's a spirit in water. That water is a container for memory. So we know that the ancients was right on point. We got to catch up to them, and the way to catch up is through studying this information that we're talking about tonight. Now,
exactly.
We got a question here, and I want you to get to. Let me see if the person is on here. 864, you're on the air. You got some questions for Brother Penny?
Sure. First of all, I wanted that email address, that pineal package. Could you get that email address again?
Okay, just give me an email. It's panicpack@hotmail.com, spelled PANICPACK at Hotmail. And I also have other spiritual things. If you're in the Atlanta area, like I said, my first lecturer, my first teacher coming in is going to be Brother Aleem. Don't want to miss that. So you can get on that email list for future information. And I have lists of other shows I've done on many different topics. I also give you that for free. So email me, anybody, PANICPACK at hotmail.com.
I know you sent me that in the package, right?
Yeah, that's what you got in the package. I also sent you these Ganesha crystals, and I was going to tell you anyway, but, you know, all you need is an oil burner, no oil, just a little bit of water. You can put oil, and it'll fill the room with menthol. You want to just do whatever breath techniques you do with that in the room, and watch what happens.
It'll
open up anything. You'll love that. And I don't know if you knew about the herb pack, but, again, it's all natural herbs. There are no drugs. You will not get pee tested. It's nothing that all – it's no psychotropic drugs in it, none of that. All natural, anything you can put on your food. These are all things that go to the pineal, and it works with you as you do whatever it is you do for your pineal. Everyone, I've dished this out, and I've been – this is old news. This is nothing new. This is old, and it's cheap as well. This is, I've been selling this for 2 years, and there's not one complaint. And I send out 40 packages of this shit every week for the last 2 years. That's why my book is taking so long. So, I mean, this is a certified, this is a certified guaranteed product and so on and so forth. And you will notice, especially anybody on their path, day and night, you will notice. You will notice a big thing. Great for lucid dreams, astral traveling, and these epiphanies. Most people say they have a lot of chatter when they meditate. Some of the most feedback is it shuts down that chatter when they meditate. And what it does do is starts to break open the pineal. So not so you don't just have an experience when you smoke it. It starts to bring the energy back to that area, to decalcify it. And what happens, you'll become start to become adept in what it is you're doing, period, the end. It doesn't go away unless you – do so, you know, unless you stop doing this work, and then it'll atrophy again.
Okay.
So you definitely need to email for that. You still got a question?
That, we got another question here. Area code 253, you're on the air.
What's good, Aleem?
Peace.
Peace. This is your boy, DJ Imhotep. Man, you know what? We was coming back from a Seahawk game. It was like a couple months ago. And we was listening to your show, right? And you was kicking in about, you know, saying about air. You still there?
Yes, we here.
Yeah.
Okay, I just heard this little beep. All right. So you was kicking in about air, you know, saying, and you know, I go real deep in about air, but you know, saying just to stay on, you know, saying your point of it. You know, you were talking about air being spirituality, and then we was like, damn. These dudes was sitting there running around with a pig ball filled with the holy breath. And you know what I'm saying? I thought, one day I'm going to call him and ask him, what does he think about that? I know the show didn't have anything to do with it. I just happened to just, you know, get your number and said, okay, I'm going to call tonight and see what's good with him. But I just kind of wondered, you know, wanted to know, what did you think about the idea of putting the holy breath inside a pig ball? And, you know what I'm saying? And I know, you know, I know the pig is Seth in a sense, you know what I'm saying? It's Set in a sense, you know what I'm saying? So you could look at it in a variety of different ways. And, you know, pork is unforbidden, but at the same time, pork is a medicine. But, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted, you know, your opinion. What did you think about, you know, putting the holy breath in this dead flesh?
Well, I mean, I don't want to cut anybody off, but I think it's more disturbing motherfuckers eating a holy pig in the stands and calling them hot dogs. You know?
No, I feel you on that. I totally feel you on that. So
but
did I stutter you?
Yeah, no, everything is air, water, earth, and fire, so they got to do something, you know.
I hear you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we was going in that day. We was like, you know, there was a brother, there was a wide receiver, and his last name was Muhammad. I was thinking, like, is he supposed to be touching his ball?
Right,
according to the
11th
chapter, he's not supposed to be touching the ball as a Hebrew or Israelite slash even later on as a Muslim according to the Quran. Of course, we're not supposed to be touching, you know, the pig. However, you know, when we was talking about spirit, we talking about the breath. That when you break down the word spirit, even if you read within Webster Dictionary, the word spirit synonym is breath. And if you look up breath, its synonym is spirit. So spirit and breath is one and the same. So when a person speak about you being spiritual, you know, what they're really talking about or asking you is that, how much do you breathe? You know, or how deeply
right.
do you breathe? You know, I mean, that's
right.
really what they're
right.
asking you. You know, because it's your breath in which that is the mediator between the lower self and the higher self. You know,
right.
As far as it being in a pig, I mean, it's there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a pig is nothing more than the derivative of a boar. You know what I'm saying? So it's amazing
right, right.
that we'll talk about the albino pig, you know what I'm saying, in which that is, you know, a drafted animal, you know what I'm saying, from a boar. You know, in which that's what Elijah Muhammad, you know, and that was actually referring to was being made up of rat, cat, and dog. But, I mean, many of us have rat, you know, have rats. Hell, you live in New York, shit. You done seen them plenty of all over the damn place.
Right.
You know, they got cats. They got dogs. I mean, even living inside the home. So, I mean, this creature is supposed to be a drafted byproduct of those three particular animals. You know what I'm saying, through what is called genetic fusion or fission. Now, as far as, you know, disrespecting it just because it symbolizes something, you know what I'm saying, it symbolizes Set. Okay, well, Set is supposed to be symbolic to the lower self. Well, so that's the reason why we don't touch it. You know, however, according to certain historical accounts, the ancient Egyptians celebrated Set at least twice out the year, and they actually ate pork or the pig at least twice out of the year as a symbolic representation of Set, you know what I'm saying? And from that Set priesthood in which that Brother Panic was talking about earlier. Now, of course, you know, that's revolting to the vegetarians, the vegans, the fruitarians, the breatharians, as well as, you know, even to those who are conscious about their diet and who no longer eat pork, you know, such as a Muslim or Jew or even some Christians. You know, however, we have to understand is that we're talking about symbolism here and what it's symbolic to, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, what it is that we take symbology, and as even Brother Panda was talking about, and we try to make it literal, you know what I'm saying, in the sense of sometimes we go too far with it being literal. And what I mean by literal, I'm talking about historical, in a sense. We take symbolism to make it historical, such as we were talking about earlier with the symbol of Baphomet, and now we take it in order to make it historical, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
As far as it being applied to maybe like Jay-Z or Kanye West
right.
or others, you know, who are now allegedly part of the Illuminati and sold their souls and so
right.
forth and so on and gone through sacrifices and rituals and all these types of things. I mean, these things are questionable. You know, however, you do have brothers like Brother Black Dot, Professor Griff, and others who teach on that type of information, Kitty Owadu and others who actually teach on the infiltration of hip-hop, you know, as well as, you know, other means of communication, you know, from those who put forth and postulate that type of information. You know what I'm saying? But when you look at the symbolism behind it, you know, there's no fear when you look at it. You understand that this is all just, you know, information in which that is detailing some type of energy or some type of conscious state. You know what I'm saying? And when you look at it like that, the fear goes away. You know, you don't.
I hear you. See, you know, I've been dealing with this craft since I was about 11. I had a mom that spent a long time in Egypt. You know, in fact, she passed away in Egypt in 99. So, you know, saying that. I was one of those kids where, you know, your mom's running around calling you Horus because, you know, saying, because she's seeing it, and, you know, and she had me when she was 16, so she was seeing it then. So I grew up with a mom talking exactly how panic talks, and now that, you know, now that he's come out and you know, saying, and absolutely just basically, I would say, been a superstar in this world. You know what I'm saying? He's going to go down as a master, super master teacher. His job is I don't even think Panic will ever know what he's really done. You know what I'm saying? Because he's made it all right. He's made it where it's all right. I remember when I was a kid in high school, people used to just get on us like we was the devil, and, you know what I'm saying, and it just, you know saying, totally, you know, just be totally against us, you know saying, for trying to, you know, understand and study knowledge. But Panic has done something where he's made it all right, you know saying, because I don't know anybody who don't love Panic. And so that, you know, that's just showing me, like, okay, I better get back into my study. And I was on this in 1985, you know what I'm saying, I'm 42, you know what I'm saying, so, you know what I'm saying, and I remember I kind of let it go. And then I started listening to a couple of brothers. I was like, man, the brothers, I'm out here on the West Coast, as a matter of fact, though, but the brothers on the East Coast is serious, you know, saying, you guys got a whole community, but I'm loving it. And, you know, the beautiful thing about it is your guys' showmanship along with your knowledge is better than TV. It's better. I'm missing the basketball game right now. I'm missing the Celtics right now. You know what I'm saying? But you guys is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I wish I could have you guys on the big screen. You know what I'm saying? So I could get the visual and everything. But I guess let me drop one little wisdom on you guys on that penile gland, because there's some products out there, not to you know, push aside the Panic Pack, because I would like to try the Panic Pack, you know what I'm saying? I'm always trying to try new things, but it's called the Procyon, and it's, you know, it's got the binary beats with the glasses that, you know, actually throw the actual binary beats into your eyes. And, man, let me tell you, brother, you will not know in your life if you're dreaming or not. Sometimes you'll be wide awake and be feeling like, this is a dream, and I got to kind of shake this. And you can feel what's going to kind of happen, but... you know, you kind of still wait, because it's such a weird reality to kind of be outside of yourself all day long. It's called the Procyon AVS, you know, saying, audio visual synthesizer. Let me tell you, this thing will set you off, especially if you're already meditating. This thing will take you to another limit. And, you know, what I do, though, I use crutches and everything to, you know, get into the pineal gland, but at the same time, you gotta push them away and take time to do it without, because if you find yourself where you don't have, you know, saying, a Panic Pack or some type of visual aid, or, you know, saying, you're going to have to find it within.
Before you do the last thing, I've given out plenty of detail on how to deal with the pineal without a Panic Pack. One of the things you could do, one of the easiest things you could do without spending a whole bunch of money, is get one of those things you put over your eyes when you go to sleep, those masks. Get a good one and just put a magnet in there. You'll see.
I've dealt with that before, too.
I got a thousand things you can do for your pineal, a thousand meditations. Aline's giving out a thousand. There's a thousand things I've stole to use from Aline for getting into your pineal. Just everyone knows it's all about the pineal, and there's always something new. And I just want to say to you, I appreciate those acclimates, but those acclimates have to go to Bobby Hemmett. He was the one that introduced occult information for many years and demystified it and took a lot of fear out of the heart. So when I was able to study, I was able to start from a good place of not having to get over a lot of things based upon his work. So those type of acclimates, he was the one that made, I think maybe I connect with a more hip-hop thing
if I was going to say anything. And, you know, I do talk about different subjects I dealt with. But Bobby was the one who's going to – he really demystified it for a lot of people. And, you know, I don't want to – you know, I want to, you know, always make sure that he gets – you know, there's no way I could even attempt to step into that credit. You know what I mean? So, you know, just want to make that clear for the record. That's Bobby's role. He did that. You know what I mean? So, and I'm sorry, you have one more thing you want to say?
Oh, we have another question. It's 336.
Oh, okay.
Area code 336, you're on the line.
Hey, what's going on, Brother Lim? Brother Panic.
All right.
I've got a question, man. Most of the time when I go and I start meditating, like after 5 or 10 minutes, it's like this black image appears, and it's like it's trying to, like, communicate with me. But it's like, it seems like it's so real, I start cracking open my eyes, and I mess up, and I try to get back.
That's the key. That's what we were talking about earlier, remember? That's the image you need to stay with. So that's what all the techniques for being able to stay in that zone. I wish we had more time. There's meditations to do it. One of the easiest meditations, I know I'm going quick because we got a little bit of time, but one of the easiest meditations is to focus upon something simple. I would say like an apple. This is something my father taught me when I was like 6 in meditation. And you want to experience it with all 5 senses. So you take an apple, okay. You want to feel how it touch, smell, taste, feel, rolling on your face and your mind. Do everything you could possibly do with this one simple object. What you're starting to do is create focus in the pineal. You're starting to be able to focus on an image. You get it? Because that's exactly what you're trying to do. And then you want to take it to a banana. Then you want to take it to something more complex. Maybe not a pigskin, but, you know, something more complex, a light. Then eventually you want to get to where you're in your bedroom, but you want to take your mind to your bathroom, and you want to be exact detail. You want to look at all the details, focus on one spot in your bathroom. Basically, what you're doing with simple objects is focusing on the one spot. And then eventually to a car, a moving vehicle, what you're doing is building up stamina. The pineal gland has atrophied, meaning it's been in a coma. So anyone who just wakes up out of a coma cannot get up and walk. You're going to have to start with wiggling your toes, twisting your feet, then eventually walking on some crutches. So that's what you're doing with the pineal gland. And like I said, the simple way to do that, go through that technique as much as you can or much as you feel you need to. Then when you build this stamina up to focus on one thing, when you're dealing with something that's coming to you spiritually, you'll be able to focus on that one thing without being distracted and be in a lucid state to see exactly what it's talking about. So there's techniques for that. The shortcut, once again, herb pack. That's what this herb pack has been doing. But without an herb pack, this also can be done for scot-free. And that's one of the easiest techniques to do it. And I'm sure Lean has plenty of techniques on how to have some successful meditation. But the idea is you're trying to Phil Valentine would always say, Brother Phil would say, you need to focus your pineal like a laser beam. Well, that's one of the techniques that does it. But you have to start small, something that you know. You get what I'm saying? Even if it's not an apple, get a walnut. And all 5 senses is what you're doing, because what you're trying to do is get your 5 senses is how you interpret this reality. So you want to get everything how you interpret in this reality into that reality. All right?
Okay.
Appreciate you, bro. We got another caller here. It's 860. Caller 860, you're on the line.
How you guys doing?
All right, bro.
Doing well.
I was meditating like a couple months ago, and I saw like an image of an owl. I wasn't sure, I was like, am I seeing an image of an owl? And then all of a sudden I see like the image of almost like the owl, like the Bohemian Grove. You know what I'm saying? It's like it was like a shadow in my mind, and then maybe like 30 seconds later, an owl starts hooting in my back porch, like a real actual owl. I was wondering, do you guys know what that's symbolic of? Or?
Owl means the wise owl. It's pineal gland, or it's or wisdom. So I can't remember. You could do this because I can't remember, and there is. You could just look up deity and owl, see what deities, because it was that spirit. There's also, which I would hate, but I would still bring it up, there's a secret society. I can't remember their name. Their thing is an owl,
And they also do rituals at that Bohemian Grove. But you might have been traveling to there or seen something there. But the wise owl is wisdom. It's still connected to the pineal. You were definitely astral traveling, and that owl has a message. I can't remember the deities. Like I said, you know, I always say, and I'll say it here, it's hard for me to remember a lot because I've never done this to lecture, so I don't remember it, so I can spout it off. I'll study it, then move on. But there is a deity connected. You know, the owl always represents the companion of the wizard, Merlin, you know, the rest of the, in Greek mythology, you'll find the representation of the owl. It was also in, it was in the movie, they just, the Perseus movie.
The owl of, Gaul.
Right, the owl of Gaul. In the mythology, what's that movie? That old Greek movie, that old Greek mythology. It was this one just now. See, I'll forget all the shit. Not the Titans one. The one when he was fighting Medusa, but the first one, they had the owl. But in Greek mythology, a long story short, because we out of time, look up deity and owl. And just find out what deity goes with what owl. There's also a book, Bobby Hemmings been saying it for years, Dictionary of Ancient Deities, where you can, when you see these symbols, or there's actually a symbol book by Barbara J. Walker. It's a similar, I don't know where it's at. But Barbara J. Walker, okay, The Woman's Dictionary of Symbols and Sacred Objects. If we had more time, I'd look it up for you, but it's by Barbara G. Walker. Get that. So when you, not just the owl, when you see things like an owl, you can have a book to go back and say, well, what does an owl mean? What does a cat mean? What does a rat mean? And then you'll get that definition and come up with your own thing, because that's one of the things I'm big on, giving people the stuff to have their own, because what an owl means to me may mean different to you. You get what I'm saying as well. For instance, well, I usually give the analogy with a baseball bat. If you dream about a baseball bat and your father took you to baseball games when you was little, and that's your fondest memories, that baseball bat symbolizes fond memories. But if my father used to beat my ass with a baseball bat and I dream about it, that means something different for me. But an owl has an archetype-type energy. You just need a book to be able to look in these archetype energies. The Woman's Dictionary of Symbols, The Sacred Objects is a good one. This is another good one you can get. The Dictionary of Symbolism by Hans. His last name is spelled B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N-N. And then you can kind of get it, you can kind of get the idea yourself of what it is. You can Google what does an owl mean, a cult,
right,
owl, deity, owl, and see what it means for yourself. The idea is for you to be self-dependent. You know what I'm saying? And that's where you have
right.
your own.
In the movie in which that Brother Penny is talking about is Jason and the Argonauts.
You're right. Jason and the Argonauts. The other one, too. They just made the remix with Medusa. And I can't believe it escapes me. With Perseus and.
Right. That was the name of it.
Clash of the Titans.
The Olympians and Perseus or something. Like
right,
that.
Clash of the Titans. Clash of the Titans.
Right.
But the earlier one, remember they had the metal owl in there. And, the owl always, the wise owl represents the pineal, wisdom, and so those are symbolic. But it's if the owl physically came, then that's a deity.
Yeah, a real owl came.
Right. Yeah, that's a deity that
owl
came around you.
It's also a symbol of Tahuti, which, of course, symbolizes
Tahuti.
Wisdom.
Right.
Right, so
Tahuti
all of that correlates to everything which that is talking about. So in that case,
right.
Brother, the owl also turns its head in 360 degrees direction, so it's symbolic.
Right, which means
all-seeing
eye. Right, the all-seeing eye. That's how they relate it to the pioneer. The all-seeing eye. And the, right, exactly. But there is a deity. When I was studying, there is a deity that is connected to the owl, though. I can't remember who it is. And let me see. If she has a thing in this book, and she does. But you probably could just, like I said, you could just Google some of that and find out. Okay, I'm trying to look
this. You can also go to the website, shamanistic animals, in which that tells you about what each animal means as far as in human form. You know, and so that's a good site. So www.shamanisticanimals.com or shamanisticspirits.com. And you can get on there and check out the symbols, the symbology of the animals also.
Right, right. Yeah, that's tight. Yeah. See, and I would look at that because I would even look at that first because that seemed like more of a shamanistic experience he had. Because especially when he was taken to that location, you know what
right.
I mean? So that seems like more of a shamanistic experience that he actually had, you know what I mean? And, yeah, actually, I'm looking in this book, and they do, let me see, they have they connected to the owl to Horus as well. Former Egyptian Horus, man, eagles, doves, and they got this owl thing going with him. So, yeah, they do. So they connected to him, too, as well. And I know it is connected to Tahuti as the wisdom, because Tahuti, Merlin is based upon Tahuti.
Right.
And Merlin is, you know, Merlin has the owl, which is nothing but Tahuti.
Right.
So,
and
yeah,
the owl within the Metunecta is spelled M-E-R, which is Merlin is spelled M-E-R-L-I-N. So... the owl is the symbol of the M, you know, within the Metunecta. So that is also what you see on the front of the dollar bill up in the upper left-hand, right-hand corner on the left-hand side of the one. You'll see an owl peeping from behind, which that symbolizes the Moors or the Mirs or the Meru. Actual, you know, and that's who they actually worshiping at the Bohemian Grove is you. And the history in which that they stole from you and that they now use against you.
Right.
That is actually what
right.
you're doing.
Or try, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
right.
yeah, and...
trying to use those rituals in order to hold us down with our own energy,
Odin.
Our own magic.
I just remembered, Odin also has an owl in Norse mythology.
Right.
Athena also, the owl is connected to the goddess Athena as well. And so I know it represents that wisdom. It's always that companion. But I'm sure, you know, the better thing for him to do is just look, you know what I mean?
Right. All right.
Yeah.
We got another call here. 864. You're on the line, 864. You're on the line.
I think I already asked my question, but I'd like, first of all, thank you, gentlemen, for sharing this knowledge. I'm here in South Carolina, and I don't have a lot of conversation like that around here. So, and a friend of mine on Facebook connected me to you guys. I am grateful to her, and I am also grateful to you guys for sharing this knowledge. I had a similar dream, as the brother was talking about earlier, about that owl. And there's a big owl sitting right there on my pole in front of my house. And he just kind of enlightened me on a lot of things. I have those dreams, too, as well. And I know now it's the fear that makes me wake up because I'm afraid to go into that door or go into that darkness.
Right.
Thank you, gentlemen. And I got your email address. Trust me, I will be. You guys will be hearing from me. And I would love to share that knowledge with some of my colleagues, some of my friends and family around here. It's kind of hard because they're really Christian-based people, and I'm not. But anyway,
right.
Thank you. I thoroughly, enjoyed it.
Oh,
this is
no,
my first
no,
time
this
on
too?
God, but this would not be the last time.
All right, well, we appreciate you. Note this, too, brother. This might help you. I was going to say really quick, this might help. The owl also may be your animal spirit. To both you guys, so that's also another road or option you should try to look at to see if it's your animal spirit, because it might just be taking you there to show you something, or it might be coming up in your dreams, brother, to tell you something. So that door of fear that you were talking about, there's nothing in there but fear itself. So that's the doors to walk through. That's the path you should be walking. So the owl may also be your animal spirit, which says a lot. All right, bro?
All right, we have a new caller, 704, you're on the air. 704.
Hello?
Greetings. How you doing?
Greetings. How are you? Dr. Bay. All right. Panic.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I communicated with both of you guys on Facebook before. The question I have is I do my meditation every night and every morning. And what I started noticing over the past 2 weeks is seeing like a smoke-like substance come up as I'm meditating. And I'm thinking it's because I have my eyes closed, but when I open my eyes, I actually see it's like kind of like, not, I guess it's like snake, but it's more like someone has a lit cigarette underneath me. And I was just wondering what that was.
Well, no, brother Leem has talked about this, but I'll speak, and I'm sure he'll be able to clarify this. That's Kundalini energy. He's talked about in many lectures where there are monks who actually sit in snow, and just with their Kundalini energy alone, melt the snow. Kundalini is a fire energy, so you are actually successful. You are raising that energy. You are seeing. Remember earlier I was talking about your head is a fire castle.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So you're successful. I'm sure Brother Lee want to speak, you know, could speak more on it.
I mean, I can't say no perfect than that, Brother Panic. I mean, I've been seeing that a lot of my meditations also, and that is what is symbolic to is that the Kundalini has been risen.
Right.
You know, and I can tell you for a fact is that that's what it is, because from my own meditations is that I'm seeing the same type of smoke or you know, wavy. You know, lines, you know, similar to
that.
You get down the highway on a hot summer day, is like the line, you know, like the heat coming up, you know, and that is, that's the Kundalini, no doubt about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And that's
because
good. That means
time,
you're making progress, too, especially if you're seeing it
like
that. I mean, whatever you're focused on, because Kundalini burns a lot of. It's life force energy. So things anti life, believe it or not, is a lot of human thought is burning a lot of that up. So that's proof
that whatever
you're studying is actually going down. It's happening.
It's called ethereal waves, and along the spinal column, along with those particular 31+2 nerves, there's also ethereal threads in which that correlates to those nerves, in which that when the Kundalini energy rises, it burns them, those ethereal cords, you know, and it burns it up. And it's nothing more than like what Panic said is latent conscious, subconscious things in which that you have laid there based off of your life experiences in this lifetime or another or in the past lifetime, in which that the Kundalini is burning off so that you can ascend to the next level of consciousness.
And that's interesting because that's when I start actually seeing, well, deities will come to me at that point. Like Hathor would come, Kali would come at that point, and then initiations would take place right after that. So,
yeah, that's big. And I don't know if you heard, again, you can always email me for a list of old shows, but I did something with Kali, and she actually burns up, there's a name for it, but it's basically eight ignorances in humanity. So while you see her as this destroyer, she's actually destroying human ignorance. And
up the Eightfold Path of Buddha also.
The eight noble truths, and all that. So clearly that's what if Kali came, then she's destroying these levels of human ignorance, not, you know, an insulting ignorance, but the ignorance that just comes along with the fact that you were born, you know what I mean? And those are the things you have to work through. That's what I was telling you. I remember being conscious when I was little, but just humanity just makes you dumb. And then becoming picking up where I left off now. So that's what's happening too. You know, you're burning up your natural human thing, and you know, Kali is the one that's why you would call her, and that's why, and you know, I broke down. We don't look at her as fierce because we grew up on Freddy Krueger and Jason, and now that Saw nonsense.
Right.
So, but her image was. You know, like if you woke up and seen Kali, you might smile. If you woke up and seen Freddy Krueger, it's a different story. So back then when they was dealing with this image, you got to look at it as that's who they were looking at. So why would they do that? Because they know what you're about to do is not a bullshit task. They know
if you can, in other words, if you say, fuck that, I'm going to stand in front of Freddy Krueger, Jason, and Michael Myers, they know, well, you can't be scared. You have to be serious if you want to do this. So meaning the fact that Kylie's come to you, it proves that you are serious, because if she's come, she's clearing that out. And that's big.
Kylie was the first one that came. Kylie is a form of your Kundalini. You know, and that's the mother goddess spirit. Her Egyptian form is Sekhmet. You know, and her Hebrew form is Shekinah, which is the glorified feminine sense of God. It's the Kundalini. The Kundalini Shakti. You know what I'm saying? Energy. Right. You know, that's Kali, and that's in her warrior form, just like it is within the ancient Egyptian tales, or the Metaneta, or the Perhem Heru, in which that speaks about Ra sending forth Sekhmet in order to go and destroy the human race. You know, and that's the same with the signs of Kali. You know, so that's why she came to you first. Of course, she symbolizes the mother goddess principle, which is the Kundalini itself. And I've had visions of when, like, for example, I'll give you a good example. The first time my Kundalini came to me, you know what I'm saying? We was at the airport, and we were sitting down looking at planes take off, and I asked her, well, what's your name? You know, because we've been talking this long conversation, you know, and a lot of it was mental, you know, mentally communicated or telepathically communicated, you know, and I asked her, well, what's your name? And she wrote down her name for me, because I was able to come back to here consciously to Earth and actually study who she was. And she spelled her name N-I-Y-E-T, Nyetta. And I told Bobby this, and Bobby added it to the list of the Orishas, because he was saying that that was one of the deities that was coming in as a form of the Kundalini. And he's writing his act because as soon as I asked her her name and she wrote it down and I was saying her name, she touched me and I orgasmed. So that was straight Kundalini energy, and that's what she was telling me. And so that was the first time she came to me in that regard, and that was years ago. That was like back in the 90s. But, you know, it was the fact that that's when she began coming to me, personifying herself, you know what I'm saying, through my dreams that I was consciously aware of, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it wasn't That makes so much sense.
I was going to add one thing. See, that makes so much sense, because in some of the older mythologies, like now you see Kali, like she's on this blood rampage, and she would just lays down. She sees them and she stops. But in the older ones, she actually, she lays down. She sits on his penis. And that kind of, so when you bring the sexual aspect in, that was in, you know what I mean? But they kind of just say, well, he just lays down. I just wanted to add that to. I'm sorry, just for cutting you off.
No. My last question, I'll let you guys go. The question is that, okay, if Kali or if any deity comes to you, is it important for you to allow them to come to you, or can you actually reach out and connect with them?
I know Liam may want to speak on it too, but definitely reach. It's a level. My whole thing is talking to spirits. The first level I was able to talk to were relatives. Second, ancestors, and was blotchy every once in a while. Archetype figures, which are gods, meaning goddess of love, goddess of this, meaning they have a big role, more than personal. So Mayat and all of them were the first to sporadically start coming.
Right.
And so for maybe about a year, they would come to me. Then I said, wait a minute, I'm going to try to get somebody. The first person I tried to get with, I put on an OM CD, went into deep meditation, was Phyllis Hyman. And what I did was just listen to her music before I started, you know, maybe a week before I started, read her stories, seen all the pictures I could see, got it. Sure enough, she came through with probably some of the most powerful shit, the most powerful visions ever. I've seen all our priesthoods and everyone who's talking, who I know now, I've seen what priesthood they was in. I've seen us in Cam. I've seen in everybody, Aline. I could go back, but I remember the lean. Everybody, the only one person, oddly enough, and I'll say it, that I couldn't see back then was Brother Dawood. But I've seen with this, I've seen stories, I've seen relations. This is from her. when I first tried to reach out. So reaching out, to make it simpler, what you want to do is surround yourself in the image. Let's say you want to reach out to Marvin Gaye. Well, he left you a gateway, his music and his images. You do that, and what you'll start to hear is a line in your head that seems out of sync with your thoughts. First, right. It'll be in your own voice. You'll be thinking, going to the store, going to the day, I'm going to that. Look to the left. You'll just hear that out the blue. Mm-hmm. Then you look to the left, and you may see a tree or something or a color or something that strikes you. You may not even know what it is, blah, blah, blah. And then after a while, when you lay down and rest your thoughts, you might hear a conversation. You'll hear a man's voice. It'll get more and more as you walk towards it. But the whole point, absolutely, is to reach out to these deities. Eventually, they'll come to you once you start your pioneer work, because your gateway is starting to open. But eventually, you want to be able to send a message out. And all they are just nothing but energy, life, as Brother Liam is talking about. But they left methodology. Jimi Hendrix left all his music. That's how you reach him. So remember, why all of these stars? Because we always return as the gods. But in our deficient state in this particular time, we couldn't return as Malcolm X or Journey of Truth, Nat Turner, and Marcus Garvey. So we return as Muhammad Ali, Jimi Hendrix, Prince. All the gods return as entertainers, because that's where we still show our god prowess. So most of those entertainers that came and changed were the gods return. A little bit before that were these Huey P. Newtons and Bobby Seals. Those were the gods return for that particular time. Elijah Muhammad, Brother Malcolm X, you know, so on and so forth. So, again, most of these gods came with the last this creative thing in these last days. So most of them are the ones who come to me or I get with them. And you want to deal with them. I've even said this is maybe a little bit controversial, even more than what we call the Maat, Osun, Osiris, Kali. You kind of want to get with the motherfuckers who is just here, because they are those same god or energy forms or energy templates that are actually configured to our situation, because they were just here. So they could serve you better. Kali has never been on Earth. She's just doing her template shit. You get what I'm saying? But Tina Turner has. So when Tina Turner goes, if we're gonna let's pretend she's a Kali figure for whatever reason, she's more of an Oya, which is still Kali. But she's an Oya figure. So instead of getting with the template Oya who's never been on Earth, you can get with an Oya energy who has, which would be Tina Turner, and you get a lot of shit done. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to do some Oya shit, of course that's controversial because people are still religified, but I'm sure you can get the concept. Definitely try to get with them. That's definitely the next step. If Kali's coming to you like that, then all you do is just make a Kali area. You know, she like, let's say you're trying to get with Marvin Gaye, find out what food he likes. It's probably on Wikipedia. See the color he wore. See this. Play some Tammy Terrell. That was his girl. You get what I'm saying? You want to make everything. See, Bobby Hemmings showed me that. Whenever he's dealing with a deity, he gets fucking obsessed with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, when that Baron Samedi came through, I got a call every 35 seconds. Guess what? Guess what? But he gets so much out of it, because then I realized that's what you have to do. You have to be. He was so obsessed that I became obsessed with the shit. Call him, guess what, man? Flavor Flav is Baron Samedi. You know what I'm saying? He was like, oh, man, it's interesting. You said, I said, look, he's married to Bridget. Flavor Flav was married to Bridget. I said, he called the Gator. That's the Gay Day. This nigga wore fucking top hats and clocks. I'm telling you, he's like, God damn. Mm-hmm. Like, so in other words, you got to be just so excited and into it that you see everything that way, and you will start to see everything that way, because it's really there the whole time.
He had my man Darren in London on it too.
It got with that. Like, I started having dreams about this nigga as one of us, and then I talked to Darren once. Said, "Oh no, you was one of you was in the same priest, you was this, that, the other." Mm-hmm. Then this same ring that we had, Bobby let, I said, well, he's in the same priesthood. And then Baba Rob Carnazares came through and goddamn Marie Laveau. Oh, man.
Right.
These niggas, they hit me up. I mean, you're panicking, you're panicking, you're panicking, you're panicking. And that's the Marie Laveau shit. And it's fun because you will see that world. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
right.
it's really a joyous world. It's a fun world. It's really not that deep. See, a lot of people fuck it because they try to get in there, boom, ba, ba, room, and mm-hmm. and Kali has come today. Fuck all of that. The one of the first was Mayotte. When I got in it, when Mayotte came to me, it was before I could even get to people, I'm sitting there going, oh, wisdom wise one who comes forth, who brings mm-hmm. reciprocity, that brings forth balance, that comes throughout, that reverberates through. She said, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, well, what do you want then, bitch? She said, oh, now we can get down to business. And then when I came out of that trance,
wow.
I said, I totally get it. All of them extra words and trying to be
right.
deep. Niggas don't talk that way for real. So what? These spirits is nothing but you. Why would you do that?
Right.
That's a fantasy. You get what I'm saying? That's a fantasy to look kind of smart. So it's really about keeping playing. It's a fun fucking world. For instance, like when I went to the lecture scene, and lately, it's really a party now. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that because spiritually, we are moving into where we are in a celebratory stage.
Right.
I said it shouldn't be bad for us to say, all right, we're going to listen to the lecture, or even we're going to have a get together on Saturday. The lecturer will talk, and we can dance our asses off. And Sunday we have our learning because we're in a party. Like everybody, because now that I'm looking for the lecture place, everybody's showing me these things. I'm like, nigga, where's the DJ at? You know what I'm saying? But they're trying to still. Wrote me in with knowledge, but the speaker, like, look, I say, I get it that we always had the theme of the speaker, but there's always been a party in the hallway at all these goddamn lectures anyway. We shouldn't need to feel bad about socially interacting with each other as well. Facebook and MySpace proved that we did. So, but why I do get it is because when I do get into that spiritual place, the motherfuckers is partying. You know what I'm saying? The knowledge I get, that the ones who I did deal with or talk to, they tell me about this world, but after that, they're like, what you doing, nigga? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's really some, look, this is what that means. That's what's happening. Don't worry about chemtrails. That ain't going to work. Niggas told me you should worry more about movies than chemtrails. Oscar the show. I mean, I could go on for days about transmissions, but at the end of the day, it's
right.
always this fun party shit. When you come with that loose mentality, you cannot be tight, you can talk to anybody. You can do anything when you be yourself. You know what I'm saying? You just come regular. Talk regular. You just, in the book Chaos Magic, Phil Hines, or either other one by Peter Carroll, one of the big sayings in all of these, is people have followed Chaos Magic now as a religion, white people, because Chaos Magic is nothing but melanin magic. So they're saying is just do whatever you want. Another line, do as thou wilt, from the Book of the Law. And the Chaos Magic line is fake it until you make it, which is a sign, which sounds stupid, but it's some science, meaning the more you fake what you're doing, the more it becomes real. So if you feel you're not talking to Marvin Gaye, you better act like you're talking to Marvin Gaye. And before you know it, you'll be talking to Marvin Gaye.
Right.
So you'll be walking around, oh, Marvin, you so crazy, I found a gumball. Oh, thanks, Marvin, for the $5 I found in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Just say it. You get what I'm saying? And before you know it, you'll be sitting around going, mercy, mercy me, you know, for real, for real. So it's as the same thing Brother Lehman and I was talking about earlier in terms of a lot is our own mind. Like he said, the woman has all of these levels of elixirs in her, but based upon her mind is why these elixirs are trapped. You know, you're not supposed to be doing it. So, you know, so most people take it too serious, think it's not really that hard. This is our divine mind, our divine birthright. We have the mechanisms for any of that. It's just activate them, and you activate them with your thoughts. You get what I'm saying? So the answer is be like, never should I contact them, but when I do contact them, because I'm about
right.
to contact them.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I already contacted them. You get what I'm saying? It's you can find a lot of that science, believe it or not, in those self-help books, which are just watered down occult books. When they tell you, if you want a red Corvette, put the red Corvette up, get the car, hang out with
right
red
now.
Corvette motherfuckers, get new car smell, get the black leather gloves, get a red jacket and the glasses, and walk around Corvette, put number Corvette pictures up, and before you know it, the Corvette will somehow materialize. Because what they're doing is saying, not wish or will it. They're not saying not wish or will it. They're saying live in it right now. That's what all that living in the now is. Mm-hmm. Don't So the idea is, on another level, not to say I'm about to contact these motherfuckers. Say I could talk to these motherfuckers right now.
Right.
Shit. And after a while, a motherfucker got the answer back. You know what I'm saying? Or even better, you just understand the answer back. You get what I'm saying? Because they always answer back. You just it's just a matter of you being able to hear it and see it. You see that through the pineal. And again, if it's atrophied, that's where the issue is. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So
now, but
everything
panic,
should
now
be
that
wake up that firehouse.
To what you were saying. That correlates
right.
to what you were saying before. The subconscious mind symbolizes what? The underworld, which is the realm
right.
of all souls.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
What is it being brought forth? Remember, the mind doesn't know the difference between what's fantasy and what's reality.
Right.
All it knows
right.
is that you program it. So the subconscious
right.
mind doesn't know the difference. It just knows what you program it. So
right.
in order to tap into
right.
that Asarian power and energy, you have to program it so our soul, which is your divine soul, can manifest what you want into this
right.
reality.
Through it. Through it. Right.
And
to get to use it to get what you to right. To use it to get
right.
what you want. Now I'm glad Ali brought that up. The imagination is real and therefore is real. Now this brings us to this. This a reality is nothing more than an imagination. It is not real. Therefore, whatever you can imagine is as real as this fantasy is. So, for instance, you ever talk to a motherfucker? I mean, think about it like this. If I said that fire hydrant is green and you said it's red, that's not right or wrong because I'm going to live my lifestyle saying it's green. You're only saying it's red because everyone agrees with that. Or if somebody told me an Oreo cookie, you know, was a college degree from when I was little, I'm going to have to. In other words, this shit is just as fake as your belief.
Right.
Our belief or what we're calling reality is what other people agree with the most. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
So in other words, none of this is real. So for instance, it's just as valid to make up a fake conversation with Marvin Gaye as long as what you get out of it, you're wiser than when you walked in, when you started it, is just as valid. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, I could be talking to my wall, but let's even make it more practical. All Nostradamus did was talk to a bowl of black water. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And all of that came out. So on a practical level, you say, well, all he was doing was looking at what they call scrying, but looking into a bowl of water, but look at all he got. Now, for some people, they'll say, well, I can see that exactly in that prediction. And some people will say, that ain't nothing to do with nothing. Meaning the reality is too far for you to put your money on what reality is. And for instance, they'll tell you all the time. They tell you this in self-help books. If everyone in this room seen one car accident, the cop would find a different story from everyone who witnessed the same event. Meaning, if you're trying to chase what we call reality, that's failing because we can witness the same thing. Even better example, half the black people said Rodney King was getting his ass whipped. White people said he was trying to get up and escape. You get what I'm saying? And this is
right.
one same event. So we bet now money on reality. That's the wrong thing to bet on. Well, you could be talking to this or that or talking to the wrong spirit. You judge this based upon results. You get what I'm saying? Based upon
exactly.
results. Marvin Gaye lives within your own subconscious mind. So
yeah,
you can always, it's already there. It's already
yeah.
there. You get what I'm saying? Whomever. You're only talking, let's say you're talking to Oshun, you're only talking to the love within yourself. You just gave it the name Oshun, so you have a physical way to access it. This is her color, this is her day, this is
right.
her characteristic, this is her element, this is her jewel, this is her perfume. Those are just physical ways or just really rituals to get into the invisible world of love, which is in you. So you say, I can't find a husband, put Oshun in your room. All you did was just tap into your own love, you know what I mean? And so talking to him is absolutely, that's just as easy as doing anything else. As long as your mind is ready for it. You get what I'm saying? And like I said, the key is if you don't take it serious, because you cannot be more serious with them than you are with yourself. You get what
right.
I'm saying? And I know this is running on, but only one more thing to add. Slick Rick said this shit, and it made me think of it. Slick Rick said, every single hip-hop B-boy, you know what I'm saying, word is born, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, all that slang. He said, everyone by their nature is fronting. because you would not do it in front of your mother. And if you would not do that in front of your mother, that means you're acting. That the realest you can get, the person you could get with is your mother. So I said, well, that makes sense. Now, if you apply this to a Hotep and a Burigani and all of these greetings, you would not do that to your mother, which means you're trying to show something when you're saying these lingos and languages. So now you have to do that with spirituality. If you are serious, I am that I am, and go forth that comes forth, you wouldn't do – if you sit there and talk to your own self like that, then you could probably contact some spirits like that. But if you don't talk to your own self with saying Hotep and I am forth that comes within, then you can't front when you're talking to these spirits, because these spirits reside in you and they only respond to the true you.
Right.
So, again, what I was saying with my eye, those that comes forth, this and that, I don't even call my own wife, who I love to death, that. You get what I'm saying? Look, motherfucker, you need to put the spoon up. I'm my queen who walks forth and comes back beyond, can you pass thou a spoon? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's no reason to say all that bullshit on Facebook. Oh, queen, your hair is, you know, all right, nice hair. In other words, keeping it plain is how you get in, because you can't front on yourself. You can't front on yourself. So I know that was long, but I think
no,
it was a valid, you know, I think it was a valid understanding, you know.
Thank you, Panic. Thank you, Dr. Bag.
Yeah.
I'm in Charlotte, all
right,
so I'm close to you.
Appreciate you.
Right.
Thank you for listening.
Thank
you. Got another caller here, and it's area code 469. Area code 469, you're on the line.
Greetings, Dr. Bay. Greetings, Brother
Greetings.
Panic. I had a question to find out what something represented to, and that was it was last month when I went to lie down and I was meditating, and my whole body was very, it kind of went numb. It's like I even think my heart stopped beating. But even in the process of all of that, it was this really dark, like genie out of the bottle kind of thing. And it was a dark fog, really thick, and it was moving toward me. And I actually allowed it to rub against my face and my arm. But even the pressure of it is what woke me up. And I was wanting to know what that was about.
I mean, Aline, do you want to speak on it? But I mean, I have some information on that. If you want.
Oh, no, go ahead. If you can, go on and hit up with it.
That's something called sleep paralysis. And usually what that is, when you go to sleep, your spirit actually, by that cord in your solar plexus, it leaves the body. And you're in the astral world. That's where you dream.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of astral traveling, and which then leads you into lucid dreaming, what happens is, for most of us, we're dead tired or we're not doing anything. Most of our consciousness stays in the human body, and that's why we don't remember our dreams or remember them sporadically, or sometimes we remember them but can't make heads or tails of them because we haven't started getting in that lucid state. So now, when you're waking up, your spirit is slowly going back into your body because your spirit is what animates it. But if you become awake or aware before your full spirit gets in, you start to experience exactly everything that you described. The pressure, you'll see the deities, and so on and so forth. Now, you know, people always remember that pattern. It was just this profound experience. I'm like, no, but that experience can become profound once I realized what this was. Because, you know, I would be like anybody else trying to get up. That's when you feel the pressure. You'd be all fucked up over that. Then the first time, once I started getting a lucid dream and I had a girlfriend, was sleeping together, and I was in her house. And this was the first time we spent the night in the same room. And early on when I would channel, as soon as I was able to get to that ancestor realm, thousands of ancestors would come. And especially when I was with a girlfriend, and all of them would start telling me shit to do for them, because they couldn't contact. Tell her to put some water here. Tell her to move the couch. Tell her to change her. She got to quit that job. Don't mess with Lisa. So I never got any sleep that first night. This first night, I'm starting to drift off, and I seen a baby come right out the wall and jump right on me, give me the pressure. But since I started getting into the lucid, I said, oh, I'm still asleep. Let me wait, not try to move and be all fucked up, and wait till my spirit comes back. Boom. Waited. Boom. Got up. It felt that I pushed the baby off. Went to the bathroom, came back, woke up, said, did a baby die in here? She was like, no. I said, there's a baby that's coming in. It was actually twins. They was fucking around, stepping on me, my spirit and all this kind of shit. And then she said, oh, she had a miscarriage before. I said, well, those babies are still around you, protecting you. So maybe two more times I was able to know I was still asleep and get into this and felt myself waking up because it was a occupational hazard. Once I started becoming more aware of the sleep-wake state, it became that sleep paralysis started happening. But then one of the things I did when I was dealing with the Necronomicon around on a Halloween, maybe about 2008, Nyarlathotep is the deity that speaks. The Necronomicon deities or pantheon just represents the deepest reaches of your subconscious mind. The Nyarlathotep is the deity that can speak between the both worlds. So if you're going to contact Necronomicon energy, you got to see him. So I was doing some meditation, and I even remember I was listening to Frank Joseph's white guy talk about Lemuria. I was watching that. So let me get into this meditation, Nyarlathotep, and seeing Nyarlathotep come and was in that sleep paralysis state. But instead of waking myself up, I said, hold on, I'm going to see where I'm going to go with this shit. I stayed in that sleep paralysis state and seeing this motherfucker come in. He was talking. It didn't last long, maybe about 3 minutes, because you're in the zone of coming out of it. But I just held on to it. So it was probably one of the most profound out of bodies that I had, because you're still out of body, but you're totally awake. So in other words, you still can master sleep paralysis, but that's what that experience is. And that's happening because you are starting to become conscious in those worlds. When I first started tapping into lucid dreams, before I even knew there was such a thing, I was tapping into lucid dreams. What would be happening was in the dreams, I would be start reaching for like my camera phone to take pictures. I was actually bringing stuff from this world into my dreams. In other words, the worlds were merging together. So I often say lucid dreams are a result of when you practice in astral traveling. One of the best astral traveling books I have is Robert Bruce's Astral Dynamics. He gives a step by step and do this, do that. He speaks in plain English. Robert Bruce's Astral Dynamics. That other astral travel book by Larry Ross and Yvonne Ross, that's pretty good too. It picks up in the middle where it starts telling you astral stories, and they said they used to go by churches and see thousands of spirits at churches waiting for something to happen. Because the astral world, if you look at the movie Where Dreams May Come, is basically a mirror vision of this world. They'll tell you Yaldabaoth, which created this world, used the astral world as his throne and his footstool is Earth. So technically, if we was in an ignorant state, we would just be going to the astral world and incarnating again in this cycle. But we're beyond that now. That astral world is burning up. And of course, you see how dry the earth is. So these worlds are burning up, and we're forced to go beyond that reality. In that movie, he was represented as the ship in What Dreams May Come. And he was like, no, she ain't over there. So the idea is to start get deep into astral traveling. You can use the same technique as I gave with the apple, but you just want to eventually get to where you're in your car, then someplace you never went, Eiffel Tower. Just see it, like fake it till you make it, pretend what it looks like, and you're actually doing it. It's not about the success of being at the Eiffel Tower. It's about exercising your pineal. There's a difference. You get what I'm saying? So by exercising is what you're doing. You're not really trying to be, oh, success. I seen something at the Eiffel Tower that I would have never seen, so I know because I've seen it in my dream. That's not really the success you're looking for. Because they'll tell you in lucid dreaming, which is true, but it's not really what you're shooting for. They'll tell you lucid dreaming is you sit there in the dream and say, I know I'm dreaming. I'm going to move my hand. I'm going to turn around. I'm like, well, if you could do that, you might as well be awake doing the same dumb shit. The idea is to be in your subconscious mind and to be able to read where it takes you. See, now I'm aware that I'm dreaming, but it's like I'm an audience member. And when I wake up, I have detailed information, detailed names. And I'm not altering the dreams, though I've done that before. There was a dream I was getting arrested. I said, no, I don't like this motherfucker. Let me dream about something else. It was like, oh, shit, I didn't. Let me turn. I did that 3,000 times. Right. That can be done, but I'm like, I don't want to spend, you know, that's not the work, because after a while, all I'm going to do is the same shit that I do when I'm awake, and that's not getting
well, brother,
so it's about real. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, can you have, that's okay, can you have sleep paralysis without actually being asleep?
Well,
exactly,
remember,
it's
the same concept. You're letting your spirit leave your body. So depending
oh,
on how
okay.
deep, so
mm-hmm.
your spirit is what animates you. Usually when mm-hmm. you meditate, there's still some sort of awareness, depending on how deep you could go. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Or, like I said, you could have been in that. See, the idea is this world that you've seen is all around you. That's what we were talking about when the Lee said there are colors and lights all around you. With your regular mm-hmm. eyes, you are locked in a 7-band light spectrum. You cannot see mm-hmm. infrared with your common eye, which they use for remotes, and you can't see ultraviolet, which is that shit mm-hmm. they use to find sperm stains in hotels.
Right.
You see
okay.
violet as the top and red as the bottom. You are in that light matrix. The all-seeing
mm-hmm.
eye is your third eye, your pineal.
Mm-hmm.
So your pineal mm-hmm. sees all colors, which are the spirit world. Simple
mm-hmm.
as that. So if you're in the spirit world, you're seeing this, and if you are it sounds like even if you're meditating, you've seen something that wasn't necessarily alarming, but maybe profound enough where your body, you were trying to move your body, and you feel the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's, you know, if
okay.
you look up sleep paralysis, it's the sheer definition of it. You get what I'm saying? Which I say is not
mm-hmm.
a bad thing, and it does not take away from the profound experience you had. The only reason
mm-hmm.
you were feeling the discomfort is because your spirit is coming in your body. But if you can
okay.
stay, that's why I went into the detail about you being able to stay in this state or
right.
being able to
mm-hmm.
control this state, because you still will get a profound, I said, one of the most profound experience I had with Nyarlathotep is when I was in
mm-hmm.
sleep paralysis, meaning
mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do through lucid dreaming and through astral travel is control that state where you are aware that you are outside of your body. So when you move, when people start to move the body is when they feel that pressure, because you're actually moving something that can't be, it's animated by the spirit, and the spirit hasn't totally returned. So you were in a deep
okay.
meditation if you weren't asleep. Uh-huh.
So the black fog of the whole thing, it was like a black fog spirit, whatever you want to call it. That is what brushed up against my face and on my arm, and that's what actually awakened me. That's what actually
right.
opened
I mean,
up my eyes. Okay, okay.
It's all symbolic. I mean, I've seen
right,
so many, I've seen
right.
small Egyptians, I've seen beetles, I've seen actual fairies where I was trying to clap them shits with my hand one time. It could be anything. You kind of got to see what it means to you sometimes. You know what I mean?
I got you.
How you felt, whatever epiphany happened, whatever you didn't know and you know now what it was. It's how
mm-hmm.
spirit moves too, in all forms. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I was pissed because it touched me. It just should have let me just look at it. So, yeah, that's how I felt.
Like,
okay.
It's all you. After all,
yeah.
And let me just say this, after everything everybody said about dark spirits and this spirits, malevolent spirits, there's never one person out of all the thousands at this point who's emailed me, I talked to, who said, I'm all fucked up because I did something you did or meditate or whatever. What I do get is, look, I was fucked up ever since I was 5. How do I get unfucked?
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've never seen nothing
mm-hmm.
that came, was like, oh, my God, what's that? That thing
right.
and this, that.
Mm-hmm.
There are low energy spirits, of course, but if you're doing
mm-hmm.
this work and you have low energy, you already contradict. The work we talk about, you are of a more, before you can even start, by listening to Brother Lean, Brother Phil, Brother Bobby, and a host load of others, your vibration's already at a rate where you're not even talking about low energy. That low energy
right.
attacks these regular human motherfuckers. That's why they all
mm-hmm.
go into jail. They all go into mental institutions and job losing. Now, all this could happen to us, we're on Earth, but we recover based upon our
mm-hmm.
vibrations. So by the time you get into the spiritual work, there's nothing that's going to touch you that you're going to be like, oh, I'm touching, that's over. Usually when people
mm-hmm.
do that, you'll find at the end of that, $5.99 for me to help you through this. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
PayPal
right,
me for
right.
that. Usually when you hear that, you can't do it. You'll hear shit like, well, you can't do this without experience such and such. Call me.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find yourself either taking out your credit card or taking off your drawers, one or the other, and that's real talk.
That's
so
it.
The idea is, see, nobody really wants to say this is all within you. You can do it in yourself. There's nothing to fear but fear yourself. Only thing I recommend is you read and study before you get into anything that you're doing, like you would do anything. You wouldn't try
right.
to drive a tractor trailer without reading and studying. The difference
right,
is nobody's
right.
going to say you'll be spooked forever if you don't do it right.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's from
right.
TV and scare tactics.
Mm-hmm.
So something touching you, believe you me, is something's touching your spirit and your aura all the time. Your thoughts
right.
control what enters and leaves your aura. If you say, damn,
mm-hmm.
I'm always unlucky, unlucky will enter your aura. You just call it unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, I'm always lucky, then it will enter your aura. So something's always touching you, always around
mm-hmm.
you, just we're not
right.
aware of it based upon
right.
you can't
right.
see that color spectrum. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So this
right.
idea
right.
is to make it aware of it and control it and understand that all of these smokes and all of these things, these smokes and black smoke and black fog, it's hard to define that. So the Egyptians gave names, Horus, Osiris, Isis, Sekhmet,
mm-hmm.
Serket,
gotcha.
You know what I mean? These
mm-hmm.
names,
mm-hmm.
so when you focus on what, let's just say, Sekhmet is, you know, it's a Kundalini life force energy, visualizes this, and this is color, and this is a consort, that lets you
mm-hmm.
control whatever is touching you. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why they were so
okay.
detailed in naming everything. So instead of saying, well, it was some smoke, you get to say, well, I was meditating on Sekhmet, so that smoke was Sekhmet. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the idea
okay.
of being conscious. That's the idea of being conscious of this stuff and know why you're going to sit down every time when you meditate. Always sit down, meditate with a purpose, with a goal. You get what I'm saying?
All right.
With an idea.
Got about
okay.
10 minutes left, and we got two more callers who's trying to get on and ask some questions. So I appreciate you guys for, you know, taking time and thinking about us and listening. But I'm going to go to these next callers here and then finish up the show. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes. Peace.
All right, right. Peace, sister, too.
All right, we're going to call us 732. You're on the line. Starting with 732. All right, we're going to go to 904. You're on the line. 904. Beginning at 904, area code. All right, I guess we could have kept on then. I don't know what's going
okay.
on. But
yeah, some of them just will listen. But well, I would
right,
say this
right.
too, Brother Aline, that this,
yeah.
If we're dealing with this, still want to deal with this subject, maybe we need to do a part two because
oh, we are.
There's still
oh,
a few things I have on it.
Fact,
you know what I mean?
Matter of fact, we're going to do that next week. We're
okay.
doing part two of this coming Wednesday because right
okay.
now, man, we ran out of time. It's almost 11 right now. So,
yeah.
I appreciate you
yeah.
joining. And, man,
yeah,
I mean, everybody in the chat room is saying how good this you know, this session was. And they really
that's
appreciate
good.
You. You know what I'm saying? They, like, you know, man, they're dropping it. Man, you know, so they all like that in the chat room.
Oh,
so,
I didn't even know the chat room.
Feedback
open.
Here.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I didn't even know
man,
the chat
okay,
I didn't,
yeah,
yeah, I didn't
yeah.
know it was open.
Right.
This
yeah,
excellent.
Yeah,
I'm glad. But I just want to say before, if we get cut off or anything, I'm excellent. Always glad to be a part of anything you have going on. Like I said, I say it again, I'll say it 1,000 times. You were one of my earliest teachers, one of the best I found that enabled me. So anything, you know, my honor to be here, actually. You know what I mean? So I just want to definitely thank you for having me as well.
Well, for those who don't know, I first met Panic in 2004.
Right.
Thanks to Brother Shabazz, you know, we
right.
all had like a little round house conference amongst the young masters at the time.
Right,
and,
right,
yeah. Yeah, I think that was like January the 11th of 2004, you know.
Right,
like just
man,
a day or two right before my teacher passed, you know, as a matter of fact. So,
Wow, that's right. That is right. And yeah, and after that, I probably was intimidated back then because I used to buy all the Liam shit back then. If you guys don't have his collection, y'all need to get it. Very informative. A lot of that tantric stuff. I mean, I have his whole collection. You know what I mean? Seven Circuits of the Brain. A lot of information he was giving out in that store. If y'all don't have those DVDs, those are like basic DVDs of just pure information. A lot of breathing techniques. You know, a whole bunch of things that really will start you in the ground, especially with a lean, because there's a lot of meditative things. And, you know, that's always been my thing. You know, I explained this wasn't even a conscious thing. My father had books to the ceilings on meditations and made us meditate when we was little. So this is something I've always done. So, but when I watched the lean, you know, I still see the powerful impact on a guy who was always into meditation myself. So for the average person just getting into it, that's must-have. That's must-have information. So, you know, and I can't say it enough, and I only say it as much because there's some shit, I only endorse shit that really works, you know what I mean? You don't never hear me talking about a lot of motherfuckers and a lot of motherfuckers who a lot of motherfuckers like for the simple reason because I think it's a lot of good information, but, you know, I talk to people who are doers. And one of the things that enabled me was your work. So I definitely wanted to thank you for that. And, you know, and I urge people to get them DVDs from you. You know.
But sure, I got to get them from you, too.
Yeah. I never was, Shabazz used to want me to speak, but I think I was saying some phony baloney stuff or halfway stuff. But my whole idea was, well, I don't really want to, I want to go study. So from maybe 2005 to around these last couple of years, all I did was just study. And me and Bobby became cool around those times because I was such a study whore, and he is the book for everything guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, you know, I think he recognized I would go into my own study subject, and then he was very helpful. Get that book. So when he was very good at giving me history on it, which gave me a lot of shortcuts, you know what I mean? Like, instead of reading this, he would say, well, that person, and I like the way he did it because he wouldn't say, don't get that. He would say, well, this person, when they did it, they were reacting to that. He just had a lot of history on the authors. So he's like, they would react to that, so they're really speaking on this, and they're speaking on that, and blah, 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 blah. So he really streamlined me into a fast-paced study, you know what I mean? So I always appreciate him for that. That's what I like to point out, because, you know, we basically talk about the same occult subject. So, you know, I make it clear every time I open my mouth, this has already been discussed or laid down from this perspective. So when the brother was saying, I want to give Panic the credit, I'm like, no, we really have to give the credit where the credit is due. I would go as far as to say maybe my generation has added a different way of saying it in another perspective. But the foundation to who laid this information down, clearly documented, has been Bobby Hemming. There's no way you're going to get around that. You know what I mean?
Right. As far as on DVD, Bobby is the one who broke everyone out of that shell. I mean, even though one of the first I've seen it actually was Brother Daoud, you know, and that was from like 88, 89, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then Phil. And then Bobby right after that, and then later on, Hakeem Bey. They was all around in that same, you know, five-year span.
Area.
You know, and from around 90 to 95. And whatever, you know, based on whatever was taking place, I mean, of course, we know that was a big Afrocentric time anyway.
Right.
Everybody was walking around the Black Madonnas. The music reflected what was going on in the streets and on the college campuses and in the schools and elsewhere. I mean, so everything was correlating perfectly to hip-hop actually being a modem for spiritual transformation, you know.
Right.
And then something happened during that same time period of our awakening, you know what I'm saying, which was in the late 80s to the mid-90s, and they brought in something to create opposition towards that. And which that got, you know, those who was into finding self and getting pride, you know, got us off the, got some of us off the path. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what people are seeing is that this is the result of those who stayed on the path.
Right. Excellent. You got two more minutes.
Okay.
You want to wrap it up? Okay. Well, we'll wrap it up. We're going to come back next week. We're going to talk about the subject some more, do it again. I thought it was real great. I thought I had some fun. And, you know, again, email me, PANICPACK, panicpack@hotmail.com for all your magical needs, list of old shows,